Recorded live.
Please enter a recording number to identify this recording, followed by the pound sign. This conference is being recorded.
Amen. Okay, let me finish here. one of the things about the prophetic is that when we have people that are prophesying to us, sometimes it's good, especially when they just come out of nowhere. Sometimes it's good to just step back and watch their life too as well. Everybody that appears to be and looks like and sounds like is not what we think it is. As a matter of fact, you know, I've been touching on some things about how the church was prophesying. And there's one scripture in particular that's really in my spirit right now, and that is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, where it says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" And, let's just say this. Since we started this training back in August, we've had a lot of people come in and out, and we kept it public, and I do believe that I was being led by the Spirit of God, because, you know, for a minute, and especially in the last couple of days, the Holy Spirit kept reminding me that, you know, that I was on the right track. But I'm telling you, the devil was just as much there and saying how, maybe I should have did it this way. I should have did it that way. I tell you what, I will apologize too, because for some of you that's been consistent, that's been faithful, and the reality of it, it's only three of y'all. We started out with almost 20 something people when we started in August, and there are three still standing. And I'm telling you that I stand for righteousness. I stand for holiness. I'm not one of those apostles that's interested in scratching your ear, because, you know, a lot of people will stop by only interested in hearing a good word. They eager, you know, people who have itchy ears want to hear something that sound good to them. And especially, like I said, I think I said it on Blog Talk this past Sunday. You know, I had that title up there, "The Church Must Prophesy." How about we have way many more people come and listen to the program than we've had in almost a year? I mean, even during the conference, I don't think we had that many people in the conference. I had so many people that were trying to call in that Blog Talk sent me an email saying that the phone lines was tied up. and that's because people saw that word. They saw the word prophesy on as a topic, and I'm telling y'all, just it is no surprise to me, but it's still sad. It's sad in the body of Christ, because we're still locked inside of these mindsets in the church, and it seemed like the only thing that we gravitate to, it's something that sways us, that makes us do a two-step, or something that makes us feel good. And God ain't pleased with that. God is not pleased with that. And so, like I said, at this point, I can truly say I don't feel bad for the way things have happened. I do apologize if a lot of the folks that did come through here was a distraction to you that have been faithful. But we had a lot of people that started with us and did not remain committed, and all that does is it speaks about who they are. It speaks about their character. It speaks about their integrity. And you know what's so tripped out? We talked about this during most of the trainings, and it makes me wonder if they were actually listening, because we talked about integrity plays a big portion in your ministry, especially when it comes to completion, when it comes to honesty. And so many individuals, like I said, started and did not complete for whatever reason. They have all these other spiritual things going on that have distracted them or that have detoured them into doing something different. And that's, I don't believe that we serve a God like that. We don't serve a God of confusion. We don't serve a God of do everything spiritual that comes our way. We don't serve a God that way. We serve a God that does things decently and in order. And when you believe that God has called you to something and you commit to it, you stay with it until it's time for you to stop doing what you're doing. And I don't believe that God is going to have anybody stop doing what they're doing in the middle of what they're doing. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, these 6 months of training have not ended yet. And so I tip my hat off to the three women of God that have remained, amen, that have stayed and remained faithful. Amen. I know Tremaine has came in, and I believe Tremaine probably would have been with us from day one, but he had went a different direction before we had started. And I told him, just like I told everybody else, to check with their pastors and to see if that's what, if his pastors was okay with him sitting up under another leadership and getting training. And his pastor at that time was not comfortable with that. So, you know, we honored it, he honored it, and he wasn't able to get in on the beginning of the courses. But since then, Tremaine has come to work with us and has been working alongside me. And I believe, and I don't know, maybe if some of y'all on his Facebook page, y'all can tell he's growing. Because every time I look up, I see him put a post in the a word of wisdom on the page. I'm like, this brother is on fire. Glory to God. So it's always encouraging to see stuff like that and to know that when there are individuals that are with you and you can see their growth, that means a lot. Y'all just don't know how much that means to an apostle that's been pouring into you, especially like myself. I pay close attention to that stuff. And when I see you moving in the things of God and really maturing along the way, that gets me excited. You know, Carla, when Carla preached on Blog Talk, man, I'm telling you, I knew she had it in her, but I was just equally the more impressed to hear what was coming out of her spirit. I said, not only is she wise, she got some revelation, and that right there is a plus. If you're gonna do this thing in the 21st century, you can't come with a regular word. You gotta have some revelation. And Shamikia the same. And I know you fighting, Shamikia. I know you fighting. But I'm telling you, when you just surrender it all to the Lord and just trust Him with all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. No, those was my favorite scriptures when I first began in ministry. Over in, I believe it's what is it, Proverbs?
Proverbs 3-5.
Man, those was my favorite. And as a matter of fact, I learned early in ministry, even when I would get called up and it was my turn to preach, and I'm telling you, I was doing this when I was in my early 20s. I would get up and I would recite those scriptures, and I just began speaking in the spirit and praying in the spirit. And I said, I'm acknowledging the Lord. I want to see which direction He wants to go in first before I begin. And you know, I know sometimes we get too big for our britches. I may not do that anymore because I know when I'm going into a specific place. Now I've already gotten the go ahead from the Lord to do what He called me to do there. But right there, Proverbs 3-5. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3-5. I'm telling you, those are my favorite scriptures, and when we allow that to get into our hearts and get into our spirits, you cannot go wrong. because that is the beginning of being wise and as far as being led by the Spirit. Because some folks get led by the Spirit, and they'll go ahead of themselves. They'll go ahead of God. And then there are those that are wise enough not to step ahead of God and wait on the Lord. And so we also, just today, I released another person from the ministry. We had some folks that just cut themselves off. I got two pastors that literally are ignoring me. They won't even answer the calls. And so, you know, I'll keep calling as long as the Lord tells me to call. But after a while, I'm not calling no more. I mean, why should I run somebody down that, you know, that's not interested? But, you know, if you decide you're going to walk away from something, you know, have enough dignity and have enough heart to speak to that person that you're walking away from directly. Don't just step away and not say a word. But let's man up. Let's be a woman about it. Let's be a man about it. If you got an issue with your brother, you're supposed to take it to them. That's the word of God. And it makes no sense to me how much error the body of Christ is in. You know, we just do things just to be doing it, or we do it because it's popular, and we do it because our flesh makes it feel good to us to do it that way. And that is not God. God is a God, again, God is a God of love. God, he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of doing things decently and in order. And the decent thing for you to do is according to the word of God. If you have some ought in your heart against me or against anybody else, take it to him. But let me tell you this. Everybody that had an issue with Apostle Hill, I'll put that out there. I'll put this out here publicly. All of the ones that had issues with me, guess what you got to do before you bring your next gift to the altar? You got to come back and you got to make it right with me, because I didn't cut nobody off. I am letting y'all know, I'm publicly saying that I did release. I released Max from the ministry today, and I won't go into detail, but he said some things that would definitely get him in trouble with the Lord. And I tried to help him, and he refused the help that I was going to give him. Now I'm gonna say this, y'all. I'm an apostle. That's true enough. I have a shepherd anointing for leaders, but I also have an impartation and an activation anointing and gifting on my life. And if I'm imparting truth, and if I'm imparting the gifts and stirring you up in the things of God, and you're not maturing in the area that you should be maturing in, something is wrong. As potential leaders, you should have gotten a breakthrough by now, especially with the anointing that's been coming through here. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I had to lay on my face to get that, to get what God gave me to pour into you. And again, as a leader, when I don't see you maturing, and you throwing tantrums and can't get it, that's a problem for me. You know, especially when, you know, we've spent time and labor with you, and I've taken time outside of the training to pray with you and to instruct you, and you still not being obedient and doing what the Lord has asked you to do. That is a problem. And then you stand up and have nerve to come against who I am and to try to speak a curse against the ministry. Now, the best thing for me to do is to release you, because at that point you're going to get yourself in trouble with God. And that's not good. That's not good for you. I'm not worried about what you said or done, because I got way more power than you. You as far as I'm concerned, when you get to that point, you so rejected, you know, because I'm not giving you my time when you want my time. It's just not going to happen like that. I work. I have a job. I also have a family. And I can't give everybody my time when they want it. I'll do the best that I can, and I'll speak with you. But I shouldn't have to speak with you hours upon hours outside of the training and then pour more into you outside of the training, and then you still not getting it. I'm not going to do it. God is charging us, and he's bringing us to a higher level. And this word is not for babies. This word has been, that we've been pouring out, is not for the average layman. This is for somebody who's looking to be matured in the things of God, that's looking to be released, that's looking to have oversight over other people, that's looking to go into the nations. I mean, when y'all read the Joseph Company, that's not just some regular social site. You know, everything that's on there pertains to global ministry. That's why it's called the Joseph Company Global Kingdom Alliance. It pertains to ministering to all walks of life, all different nationalities, colors and creeds, all different denominations and religions. This is an equipping ministry. We equip leaders. Even if you are already an ordained or licensed leader, our ministry has been empowered by the Lord to pour more into you and to stretch you beyond what you've already been called to do. We ain't two-stepping here. This ain't no twist and turn in the night. This is some serious stuff. This is the type of word that you get to set a whole nations and regions on fire. This type of ministry equips you to deal with principalities. It's an impartation of a governing anointing. And so when I see leaders that don't stay and don't complete and can't handle the rebuke, they can't handle the weight of God's glory, then yeah, I'm not gonna push you to stay because maybe you can't handle it. Maybe this is too much for you. And that's why I said if you are already a part of a leadership, you needed to ask your pastors, because this information, this ain't for children. This is for sons and daughters. These are for mature people. When the apostle Peter stood up and he says, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." New converts don't just get saved and walk up into the church and start prophesying. No, sons and daughters prophesy. They are mature in the things of God, and they can prophesy with "Thus says the Lord." They can declare the righteousness of God's kingdom, and that's what this is all about. We are equipping people to go to the nations. Matter of fact, I got a letter just recently from a pastor from Nigeria. We have put a lot of international leaders on hold as far as invitations are concerned, because it's been my desire to build up a team. And, you know, we thought we were really getting ready to get there especially when we go to Africa, my goal is when we go there is to spend at least a week and take almost at least 12 to 14 people. But it looks like I'm not going to be doing that. It looks like I may have to take maybe two or three with me. I'm telling y'all, it's a lot of naysayers out here. It's a lot of folks talking good, and they got the right words to say. It's a lot of mumble jumble, and I've been saying this even in the Chicagoland area on WYCA radio. There's a lot of folks that are a lot of hearers of the word, like the Apostle James says, but they're not doers. They deceive in their own selves as well as the people of God. Talking good and ain't doing nothing. I'm tired of talking. I'm not just a talker, y'all. I'm a doer. And I'll do as whatever it takes by any means necessary. I'm what the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God suffers violence, but it's the violent that take it by force, and that's what I'm doing. And if you get in the way while I'm taking it by force and you can't take it, you might get ran over. I don't mean that to hurt nobody's feelings. Praise God. I have a love. Like I said, I'm guilty for loving the people too hard. And the one thing that I still won't do is I won't cut anybody off. I won't. But if you come against the ministry, if you come against the work and I've been pouring into you, I will release you. I would rather you go and deal with God and instead of like the word of God, the word of the Lord says, touch not my anointed, I do my prophets no harm. And when you making threats and speaking curses against the work that God is doing, not good for you, not good at all. You know, I shared a story about a young lady who came against me a little over a year ago for the position, and actually caused me to miss the position that I'm working in now. And she accused me of some things. Well, you know, I found out that not only did she, because the only thing that I heard as a result was that she got demoted down to a regular part-time position. Well, I found out recently that she ended up getting fired from the company all the way around. So, and she had moved here in Indiana from southern Illinois, made a major move. And let me tell you, God cut her down so low and humbled her that she had to not only move back home to where she was in southern Illinois, but she had to go back and stay with her mother. And that right there, you know, when you start to think of, you know, what's the worst that can happen, you know, for some folks that's used to being independent and being on their own and taking care of themselves and others, and you get cut down to the ground like that, that is a humbling experience. And I think that when we in a position to do right and we refuse to, why would you reject the Lord and reject God's anointed, come against his anointed men and women of God, and cause yourself to be brought down to the lowest that you can be brought down to when you had an opportunity to get it right. I believe that for some of us, our pride is in the way. Our self-centeredness, we only get concerned about us, and we don't think about the consequences or the cause and effects of life when we do a thing. We make irrational decisions, and we make mistakes that can be easily avoided if we would just sit and think about it for a minute. So I tell you, we are going to make some changes before I do another training online. I'm even going to begin to change some things here at home concerning the leadership training. I found out that the way that some of the old folks do some stuff, it ain't all that bad, you know. And this has been a humbling experience for me. Let me tell you, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way that some of the business that they conduct and why they conduct it that way. One of the things that I found out is that if I had a charge for the training at the beginning, and we would have told everybody that there was a fee at the beginning of the training before you could come on it, and you didn't get the information to come on the training until you paid the fee. Those that would have paid probably would have stuck with it. They would have been a little bit more committed because, you know, that's what, you know, they put their money in there. And that's the word. The Bible says that. What's that scripture? Somebody, y'all can help me with that, about the treasures of a heart, the man's and treasures of the heart.
Where your treasures is, there your heart will be also.
That's it. So I think that we need to start allowing folks to put their treasures in the things of God so that they can stay a little bit more committed, and we're going to have to start challenging the people there because it was a distraction for all of those ones that came and didn't stay, you know. And you know, it really saddens me is that when you start confessing how things are truly a blessing to you, and this was definitely the Lord with you crossing our path, all of this, that, and that. You know, I listen to it, and I'll listen to it. But what's gonna convince me is if you're gonna stay with it, if you're gonna commit to it. And so, like I said, from what I see so far, I see three individuals that have remained committed, and that is a blessing to me. Amen. And we just want to continue to stay strong. Amen. Looks like we're gonna have a good time coming into Houston. As far as I know, I know many, many of you all know. Prophetess Misty is definitely going to be ordained. We're going to ordain her. Carla, are you ready to be ordained?
No.
Okay. Okay. What you think, Misty?
I believe that she's ready, but she's walking in a little fear because she wants to make sure of everything. She's one that she wants to make sure that she doesn't go before the timing of God, but in my heart I know that she's ready. But she has to build her confidence in knowing and trusting that everything that she says has been on point ever since I met her. I've never seen her word fall to the ground. But when she's ready, you know, one thing I believe is not to force anyone and to let them say, okay, I'm ready, because even though God says she's ready, she has to be ready within her own self.
Amen. I agree with her, Carla. As a matter of fact, you are definitely one of the ones that that the Lord placed on my heart about being ordained.
Mm. Wow. Oh Lord.
She's ready. She just gotta let go and let God. She's ready.
Oh Jesus.
But God has given her the opportunity to say, okay, I'm ready. You know? She's at a place where God has said, okay, I'm not gonna push you. When you're ready, I'm gonna give you some time. I got a little space there, but it's going to come a time when it's going to be a God pulling. Today is the day, Carla. You're going to be ordained today. You rather you want to be or not.
One of the things I would say is that a lot of times you may not have realized it, but God already ordained you.
Right,
and once you've been convinced of that, you know it's not long before man affirms you. But you gotta be convinced. You have to be convinced that God has already ordained you for this work.
Oh, I know He ordained me. I know that. I know He ordained me. I don't know what it really feels like to be ready and what am I trying to ready myself for. That's where I, you know, I believe that I've been called. I study to show myself approved. I don't know what I'm trying to ready myself for.
Let me bring some clarity, because you know, and that may be something too, because you got so many different giftings working with you right now.
Right.
And I give you an example. You got what they call that prophetess Anna anointing on your life. Number one, if you read that training manual that I sent you, you'll notice that prophetess. The prophetess Anna, she didn't spend a whole lot of time prophesying. She spent a whole lot of time encouraging the people and praying in the temple day and night.
Oh my God.
Apostle, you said it just perfectly.
Oh,
that's
my
it.
God. Oh my God. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Glory to God!
And you said it so perfectly.
One of the And one of the other things about the prophetess Anna, she was an elder.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bible doesn't speak of her being an elder, but that's what she was. She was an elder. She was an elder woman, and she really took care of the house of the Lord and the dimension that God called her to.
Possibly, I don't think you really know. What's going on in Houston. Well, you know what the Lord showed you, but Carla's my right hand. She truly upholds the ministry and making sure that it flows in it, not only in the natural, but undergirding in prayer. She has so many gifts inside of her. And I believe, you know, I just know that, you know, because there's not a specific assignment for what she does to explain what she's doing, it's like I'm not really sure where God is placing me. But because she has many gifts and many functions, God is truly, I just thank God for her. You know, it, whatever the need is I have, she's faithful. She's been faithful to upholding this ministry. So I bless God. I truly do.
Amen. That's wonderful. That is definitely wonderful. I'm telling you, and Carla, you might not know this. I know we probably haven't had any one-on-one conversations, but the Lord speaks to me about you so often. And God is pleased with you.
Mm-hmm.
It has been. And I'm telling you, you are now one of his chosen. Everything that you've gone through in the last year has been for a purpose. And as you continue to step into everything that God called you to, you're going to see major changes in your life. Terrain say, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. And I believe he said it right. Because the Lord definitely going to have ask more of, people going to need more of Carla. It's on you heavy. It is. It has been probably for the majority of your life. It's just that now it makes more sense, even though it seemed like, well, I don't know. I can feel the anointing over here, and then I feel it over there. No, you can't, because I've been saying this, and I know you've been hearing me. You can't pattern your ministry after what you've seen in the past from everybody else. Your ministry is going to be totally different. They're going to be like, you know, I don't know if y'all know this one lady. Her name is Darlene Richards, out of Monroe, Ohio. She didn't begin ministry until she was 62 years old. And this woman is one of the most powerful women ministering around the country right now. She has a powerful ministry. And I'd be so excited when I see her preach, because you can't tell that she waited as long as she did. She seemed like she'd been in ministry forever. And she just started within the last, I want to say the last 5 years, if that.
Mm-mm.
And now her and her husband has one of the biggest ministries in Ohio.
Mm-mm.
So this is definitely your time, woman of God. Like I said before, I won't force any ordination on nobody who say they ain't ready. But God say you're ready.
Amen.
My God. That's all right. Praise God. Tamekia, how about yourself?
If God says I'm ready, I'll
be ready. I know that I'm still in the place of training as well. I know that's continual. But if God says I'm ready, I do whatever he says.
This is what has happened. And and I had to, this is why I needed to sit back for a day or two. I needed to hear from God. This is what has happened in the last month and a half or so, where things became very intense. God was pulling some stuff out of you to prepare you for even greater. See, sometimes when we experience growth, God will stop us in the middle of our growth, and we'll experience a growth pain.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you were growing up as a child, and all of a sudden your legs will start hurting, or your arms or something, and you may get some intense back pains or whatever, and them old mothers, them grandmamas or whatnot, and they say, oh, that child just having some growth pains. That's all they having. So in the middle of our growth, we experience growth pains because our ligaments and our muscles are very, the makeup of our body, our DNA and our cell structure is being stretched. And while God is stretching you, he's got to make some stuff hurt to put you in the right shape, in the right form that he's trying to mold you into. And so in the last month and a half, God's been pulling things out of you that have been laying there for some time. He's been pulling out the hidden rejection that's been in your spirit. He's been pulling out some of the hidden hurts and some of the stuff that you kind of put to the side while you were going along the way. And it's not that you've done it intentionally, but it's just some stuff that you wasn't ready to deal with right now. And you know how we say sometimes, I get to that later. And so this is your later, because God is pulling that stuff out of you. The need for companionship, the loneliness, and he's even showing you who you really are. You probably never knew that you was one that would sit and worry from time to time and didn't know if you were going left or right. You know, you were always sure of which direction you was going in, especially in the natural as far as career-wise was concerned, and school and everything. But it just seemed like this spiritual road trip is just, oh, my God, why'd it have to be so like this? and all it is that God is just pulling some stuff out of you that can't go where he's taking you. It cannot be there when you get there. It's got to come out of you. See, people don't realize it that, you know, yeah, we pound and we talk about casting out devils and you know, and that's a must. But it's something about when we get up under the anointing of God's word and the word of God, because it is anointed too, because it is Jesus, it breaks yokes as well. And so that word becomes so powerfully intensified on our own tension, and it starts to break yokes. Stuff start falling off of you. It's like, I didn't know that was there. What is this? Why is this happening? What's going on? Because it's that word that's breaking that thing. You didn't know you had a little rebelliousness in you, and that's because that word went in there and shined some light on it. And it's the Lord saying, you got to go. Get out of here. And while it's coming out, it's making you experience some growth pains. and then that word get in there, and the next thing you know, you find out that, man, I must be like my folks. I'm a little settled in my ways. What is this? That's the word of God shining the light on it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so that... So the last month and a half, that's what the Lord's been doing. And I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to not only think about it and pray about it, but I want you to back up and reevaluate it. Because round about November, the Lord said that you were definitely ready. There was a little bumps and bruises. I saw it. I knew you was going to go through it. I just didn't know how. But he said that you would be ready. Not only would you be ready to be licensed, but you would be also ready to be ordained if you came through this. Now, you got to decide if you're going to go through it and complete it. And you got to do it. You got to do it without growing weary. The scriptures tell us that we should not grow weary in our well-doing. And you've been doing well. And this is not the time to faint. This is not the time to throw in the towel. It's not the time to mumble and complain. It's not the time to feel inadequate as if you can't do what the Lord asking you to do. It's not the time to say, Lord, I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know. This is the time for Proverbs chapter 3:3-5, to trust the Lord. You got to step out on that ultimate faith. As leaders, we are all challenged to do something great that we've never done before and that we've never experienced ever in our life. And it challenges us to make a major move according to our faith.
Yeah.
Phones, y'all. I got to change phones and everybody's sleeping in the house. So, yeah, God is preparing you. Give me a second, y'all. Hold on. Okay. So take a long, hard look at what's been going on in the last 2.5 weeks. We have a tendency to blame everything on the devil. And some stuff is the devil's fault. But sometimes God put us in a position where he going to deliver us whether we like it or not. Because he know where he's taking us, and he know what's good for us. I had some of y'all may know him, Prophet Hal. He has a blog talk radio program. Remember when we first started about 2 years ago, back in 07. And if y'all ever go back and listen to any of them old segments and you listen to them thoroughly and go all the way through, you'll probably hear Prophet Hal prophesying. He prophesied to me one day for about 45 minutes straight. I'm telling y'all, I ain't never ran into a prophet like him. And he's an elder prophet. And he prophesied for 45 minutes. And he told me in one particular prophecy, he said you're like the lamb that's been spotless and clean, and the Lord is keeping you that way. And, you know, when you really tap into that type of prophetic word, it says a whole lot more than what he was saying at that particular time. But sometimes God will present us that way where he won't let anything taint us, any spot come on us. He'll keep us from, literally, from evil. And that's why he told the disciples to pray that. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's what God is doing with you. He's literally preparing you for a greater purpose. But you got to get to a point, you know, and I've said this before, and y'all notice, I sporadically comment anymore on Twitter and Facebook. I come off of that because I found out that there's a lot of rejected people on there. And folks get mad when you don't comment on their stuff. Every now and then I stop through there, I like something I saw or look at an email or whatever. But I just can't stay on there, and I'll post what we got going on here because we got a lot of people that are on our Facebook in the Indiana and Chicagoland area. So we kind of post what we got going on, and some of that stuff automatically posts on Twitter and goes straight to the Facebook from the Blog Talk. But you gotta get to a point where you're willing to sacrifice some of that stuff, sacrifice some of that computer time, sacrifice some of that phone time, sacrifice some of that restaurant time. Come on, somebody, y'all don't want to talk to
me
about the restaurant. And just lay on your face. Sometimes when you just lay there, you may not even have to say nothing. Just say, Lord, I'm here.
Nah.
I've been there. I just lay there and say, here I am, Lord.
Awesome.
And next thing I know, I'm asleep. I'm gone. I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't miss you, Lord. I was trying. But you gotta find yourself there sometime.
Oh, Jesus.
I think this is gonna be a wonderful time, because sometimes it only take a few people, and you know, I'm y'all may not know this, but you know, back in November of 2007, I think I had just met Prophet Ricky Dent and Prophetess Cross, and he had a lady that came on his program out of Atlanta, and she's actually she has her own program on some Atlanta station down there, a television station, and she prophesied some things and heard Prophetess Cross and even Prophet Ricky Dent, and one of the things that they prophesied was in reference to people who would come through our leadership, and how folks would pull on us, and some would remain, and some was just coming to get what they can get. And I'm going to tell you, they were very accurate, because we've had that. Some just came and got what they wanted and went on about their business. And I've, like I said, I've literally learned a lesson from this, because every time somebody walks away that we've been pouring into, I can feel it in my spirit. I can tell that some virtue went out of me, because when I start pouring into you, my anointing connects with you. And when I pour into you and I'm releasing into your life, I'm pouring a part of me that God has put in me into you. And when people walk away, and even when they walk away the wrong way, like I said, that's one of the reasons why I've been totally drained the last few days. I'm telling you, that's how much and that's how many people have literally walked away from us. And but I thank God, because that means that what are you getting ready to pour back into me?
Mm-hmm.
I got to laugh, y'all, because the devil will be thinking he being slick.
Mm-hmm.
What he about to pour back into me is much greater than that it was in me. And this is a whole new season, y'all. Whole new season. I'm just excited about what the Lord getting ready to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody on a call from Illinois. Who is that?
That's me, Apostle Monica Tate.
Hey, Monica. I'm so glad you're still sticking in there with me, too.
I have to.
I could definitely use your help this weekend. So, you know, we're going to be in conference all weekend. I don't know if Tremaine talked to you and went into detail.
Yeah.
I'll
talk to you about it, though.
Good. And Saturday at 2 o'clock we have the women's service. The men are going to be in there, but it's going to be for the women. And I know that our speaker, which is my mom, actually, she's going to be speaking. She's doing a special panel. I guess she got something that she's going to do that's way out in left field, but she always had these awesome things that she do when she starts staging stuff. And she's gonna have the single women and the married women. So she'll be calling on individuals to help her with that as well. But we're gonna have an awesome time this weekend. The reason why I know it, because whenever I experience any negative impacts before a meeting, I know God gonna meet me there. So
yeah,
I'll tell y'all. My wife told me, she said, "What's the matter? You discombobulated?" I was, y'all. I was forgetting stuff, and that's not like me. And I had to stop. I had to stop where I was and just pray, because I ran red lights yesterday, and I don't run lights. And I said, "Lord, please, Lord, deal with my mind right now." Because I mean, not just how much stuff that was on my mind, and you know, like I said, a lot of these folks that have walked away from us, they don't tell you, but the Lord revealed it to me, and so I immediately began to make phone calls, and then I saw what was transpiring on the website, and I could tell, like I said, part of me went out of me, and that's why. You know, when you look at that scripture, when the woman that touched Jesus, the hem of his garment, he said virtue went out of him. And so when people touch us spiritually, a part of us go out of us. All of you all will experience that if you haven't already. So
yes, Lord.
and when people walk away and they take that with them, they deplete a measure of the anointing that's on your life.
Yes, Lord.
And it doesn't feel good when they not only depleted it, but they tried to delete it. They didn't want you to have it. They wanted it. They illegally tapped in. Like I said, and half the folks that left, they heard me teach that before. How you doing, Minister Jenkins? God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Man, good to see you. Praise God. Praise God. Tell your wife we say hi and Happy New Year to you as well. Praise God. I don't really, I want to get into the lesson tonight, but I will have to be honest. I wouldn't be able to minister it the way that I want to, and I know that it's a lesson that, I know for a fact y'all need to hear it. I was going to actually talk about the ministry of Samuel, and I said that I was going to speak on that, and I am. I'm going to talk about the Samuel anointing, but I'm going to wait. As a matter of fact, I don't have to reserve the call to just Wednesday night. If y'all want to get together on another night, we can do that. But we're going to complete this training. Amen, and I'm looking forward to coming to Houston, y'all. I am. The Lord already told me what he was going to do so far, at least the first one or two nights. The Lord already showed me some stuff. And I got that anointing that's going to be on me for those services that weekend is to call folks out by name. I can feel it in my spirit heavy. And and I'm gonna be moving in the supernatural for healing, as far as with the some of the areas of ailments in folks' body that are on folks' life. I can actually, even while I'm talking about it, I can see three or four individuals. I can actually see it in my spirit of certain ailments that's in their bodies that God's gonna touch, even now. So I'm looking forward to the move of God. Yeah. Yeah, I see. I'm telling you, while I'm talking, I can still see it. I see kidneys. I see in the pancreas area where God is literally. And I don't know if these are four women, and one of the women have had surgery already. I can see it in my spirit. I'm telling you, I'm sharing this with you. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit, and I know that God's gonna bring it back to my remembrance once we come into contact with them. Yes, Lord, I'm in the zone now. So when you go there, this is what they call the prophetic glory. That's why, you know, we're doing that. We're having that service here this weekend, and I'm probably going to be moving in that same dimension this weekend as far as that's concerned. And I got a minister in Chicago Sunday morning, too. It's a new ministry that's starting. And she's been on the calls with us before, too. She's been following the ministry since we started on WYCA Radio back in October. And she's starting her church now. And so I'm going to be with Angela. That's who you talk with her, right, Misty?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. I talked to her about a month ago.
Yeah, I'm going to be with them on Sunday, her and her husband.
And, oh, okay. Praise God.
Yeah, so and this is their opening services, so this is an honor. They had me come in and help them open up their services. So
praise God.
Because the Lord liable to say anything.
Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, the Lord is liable to say anything, especially at the beginning of something that's starting off like that. My God. Yeah, so it's exciting. Amen. Amen. It's going to be awesome, though. You know, I know that sometimes when people are interested in coming under the covering and looking and, you know, looking to see after they saw what we've done, you know, there's still some. You know, some I'm still watching, I'm still looking, and you know, I think that's just human nature. But once you decide and you come into alignment, you know, I can say this about myself. I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna tell you what God say, and then I'm gonna be honest with you about what I say. But I'm gonna tell you what God say first, because what I say probably won't mean a hill of beans compared to what God is saying. And that's the way we try to keep it. Try to keep it real. With God's people. And if it's anything that's not in alignment with the things of God, you know, we try to, you know, uncover it in love, you know, so we can make sure that we're on the right track. And that's why I stay accountable to other apostles as well, because, you know, they need to know what's going on. They need to make sure you ain't off track. And we never want to feel like we too big for our own britches. Man, thanks, Tremaine. Put that in the room. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, man, God is good. Y'all got any questions for me tonight?
Well, Apostle, I now understand why God wasn't revealing what he wanted to happen for the service, because I truly have been in prayer about it. And it's like he only gave me the top title and what he was going to do, but that was it. It was no filler. But because of the shaking, you know, when I look at anything, whenever God begins to shake anything and things begin to fall to the ground, and, you know, it's just reminded that scripture saying the fruit that remains shall replenish and multiply. When I think about when God shakes a tree, those who are not on the foundation of Jesus have to fall off. And you may look at it as, you know, because you have a shepherding heart, that it hurts you that certain people fell off. But the reality of it was that their foundation, they didn't stay on the vine. And the vine is Jesus. And where God has taken this ministry, you can't fake and shake. You got to be the real deal McCoy. It's like, don't come up in here thinking you're going to hide behind a computer and not get exposed. And what God did is the shaking, even through the computer, that your tree, your fruit, still did not have the, was not connected to the vine, so you had to fall off.
I need cop.
But even in that, whenever fruit fall off of a tree, that tree still reproduces itself, and it continues to reproduce. There's always a shaking when it's time for the harvest. My God.
Right.
So
right.
God is just preparing your tree for the harvest that he is sending, and only those who are going to stay on the vine is going to remain.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? I kept hearing all the laughing, and I was reminded. I don't know if y'all remember. You know, I'm one of those kids that used to sit up on Saturday night back in the day. Remember the old SNL days, Saturday Night Live, and they had this little clay character named Mr. Bill, and every time you look up, he was falling or somebody was sitting.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he got hung up. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Ooh, Father.
Help us, Lord. Ooh.
Ooh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Apostle Hill's phone hung up accidentally. He'll be back on shortly.
Amen. Oh, God.
Oh, Lord, what a time.
I'm coming out of Gethsemane tonight.
What'd you say?
I'm coming out of Gethsemane tonight.
Oh, you coming out?
Okay.
I'm coming out of Gethsemane tonight.
Praise
not
God.
My,
hallelujah.
Not my will, God, but your will be done.
Hallelujah. Answer prayer. Right, thank you, Jesus.
What I just missed now? What's it? Who coming out now?
I'm coming out of Gethsemane tonight.
Hallelujah.
I choose the will of the Father, not my will. Your will be done, God. I trust
my
you.
My Lord.
Can't pray, but I trust you. Glory.
Amen.
Not my will, but his will.
My God. My God.
On.
That's
not
awesome.
His will. I'm telling you the truth. Not my will, but his will.
Amen.
Oh, I can't tell y'all I know, I understand. I know God called me. I know he ordained me a long time ago.
My God, that is awesome.
But tonight I come out of Gethsemane.
I'm telling you, that's all I could hear is Gethsemane.
Amen.
Not my
amen.
Will, but your will be done, God, in my life.
My Lord, praise
my,
God.
I can't prepare myself. Only God can. But I choose
yes,
to give
Lord.
Up my will tonight. Not my will, God, but your will be done.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
Ooh, bless your
I
name,
hear
Jesus.
You.
Mm. Ooh,
my
Father.
God.
Mm.
This is not going to be no ordinary ordination service. I hope y'all know that.
Ooh, God. Oh, Jesus.
My God. My God.
I can say this to the people, if you to you and Misty tonight, Apostle, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I just want y'all to know publicly, I tell Misty all the time, and maybe sometime I'm repetitive, but I want her to know that I appreciate. I've come through much leadership. I've seen much. I never thought I'd live to see the day that I could truly be in a place where people truly love God and they are truly committed to building the kingdom of God. I always understood the kingdom of God, but I never saw it. And
amen.
God himself connected me. God himself took me from New Orleans 2004 and placed me in Houston, Texas. Katy,
wow.
Texas. And when I tell you, I never knew, I don't know a soul here other than my children. Spiritually never connected to nobody. Have been a misfit all my life as far as it goes with the church. Oh, I've been in the church. Chose to be in the church because I know the church was where God chose for us to be. But I never connected.
Wow.
Never connected. Never connected with anybody spiritually. And when God connected Misty and I, we met in the spirit. I never met Misty naturally. I met her in the spirit. I never met you, Apostle, don't know you, but I know you by the spirit of the living God.
Amen.
God himself told me who you are, what you are, and what you are about. And man of God, all I can say is, it's time out, Apostle. Those who have fallen off, they fell out because they made a choice to fall off.
Uh-huh.
And don't spend another day or another piece of energy concerning yourself with who fell off, why they fell off, and nothing else. And you got to move forward to do that that God has called you to do. What you do it because God called you to do it. But I want to publicly tell y'all, I thank God for y'all crossing my path and being a part of my life at this time. I never, ever thought, and I told Misty, I am happier today than I've ever been in my entire life. If God chose to rapture me out of here right now, I could tell you, my life has been well spent. In 3 months, and I've been here almost 52 years, but in 3 months, and from the time, 3 months with IFC, and from the time we started this call in August, have changed my life tremendously. When I tell you my life is full spiritually.
Amen.
And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all love that y'all have for God people, and I just encourage y'all to continue to do kingdom work, not church work.
Amen.
We got enough church work going on. God could care less about church work.
I
thank y'all for pouring that has been poured into me these months that I've been on the call with you, Misty. I've been with you in ministry. And I just want y'all to know that I truly, truly appreciate y'all. I truly do.
God be the glory.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for sending my help.
Amen. And Minister Jenkins, I see your message on there. I see your message. Amen. Give me something specific that you need prayer for.
Jesus.
Praise God. Yes, Jesus. Lord. Yes, God. Yeah, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, I think in the future now we're just gonna charge for the training, and I'm not gonna release the information where we're gonna be having the training calls at or anything like that online. It's gonna probably be. It definitely won't be on TalkShoe. I'll probably keep the conference number the same, but there is another site that we can use that's. It's a little bit more educational, and I can actually use what they call like a chalkboard on it. It's called WizIQ. So we'll probably use that. Or we may do some more virtual training, whereas we utilize the video and do the live training. While we're doing the live training here, I can also include everyone else outside the country. And since you guys going to be ordained, y'all can help do some of the training now. I won't have to do it all by myself.
Ooh.
Amen. Yeah, actually, you know, there's some more to the vision than what we got written down. and we're going to probably start revealing it soon. But the Lord spoke to me about putting, I figured it was something to do with ministry, Minister Jenkins. I'm going to share something with you in a minute. Our goal is to actually plant some schools, not just regular colleges. You know, we got enough biblical colleges out there, but to plant some schools overseas, especially over in Africa and down in India, and you know, we're looking to also kind of assist some of those leaders with their orphanages. I'm kind of cautious about it because I get so many emails from leaders overseas, and they real quick to ask you to sow a seed into their ministry. It's like, brother, you don't even know me. You know, if anything, you know, get to know our ministry. You can get to know our ministry just by clicking on almost any website that we got and listening to how we've been teaching. And, you know, and then they'd be real quick to want to partner with you. And so I'd be kind of cautious about that. But I do know that there are ministries over there that are sincere and that do have orphanages that where people need help. And we kind of want to, you know, our heart is to go in and help those over there and even train some of their pastors. I've been contacted by apostles and bishops from overseas that have, we talking like 6 to 7, maybe 10 churches. Some of them have even more, and they want so badly for their leaders to be trained, and you know, that will be an awesome opportunity to get you guys together, you know, in our travels as we go overseas in the days to come to help build up some of those schools, and because believe me, there is a lot of talk overseas concerning the apostleship and the prophetic, and a lot of them don't have the knowledge like we do here, and so that would be a great opportunity for you all to impart some wisdom in those travels, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. I really am. I'm praying that I have an opportunity to travel with Prophetess Shireen Anderson, who's a part of Crusaders Ministry over here in Chicago, Illinois, with Apostle John Eckhart. I was invited to go on a trip with him, a missions trip to South Africa in April, and it's $3,000 for 1 week. So y'all pray with us, and I'm definitely considering going, and just to see what it's like to be with another ministry, being out there. And just had an opportunity to kind of get to know some of the folks. So when it is our opportunity to travel on our own, you know, we're kind of familiar with some of the processes that is required to go overseas. You know, it's our goal also with to travel over to Australia. There's some movement up in Holland, Finland, and Norway, you know, and I've made contacts with some leaders up that way, and I believe that the Lord's going to open up some doors for us to go there, also including London. I believe God is summoning us there as well. So there's going to be a lot of international doors opening up this year, and that when they call upon the team to go and to come with us, those that are being ordained and that are ready to travel overseas, we're definitely going to take you with us. And so y'all just be ready. And looking forward to that. Carla, you ever traveled overseas?
No. No.
Well, it's going to be an interesting experience for all of us then. I think the closest I've been overseas is just right below the Florida Peninsula, down in the islands.
Oh.
that's the closest I've been overseas. Now, you know, well, the wonderful part about it is that we do have leaders that we occasionally speak with and have been in fellowship with, And then there are also ministries that they literally, they still do, they sit around the computer, especially over in Africa and India, and they listen to the blog talk. And we get a lot of emails from those churches out there. And so, although the ministry has spiritually gone overseas already, we just haven't physically gone. And so y'all can also kind of help do some of the research, like some of the countries like the Philippines and Tanzania and Africa and Kenya. They require you to have specific shots before traveling into the country. And it's a process. It may take a couple of months to get all of those shots going, because you definitely don't want to get them all at the same time, especially if you're not one that, you know, care too much for a needle. So you might want to find out. Yeah, we have to have certain shots, and then they tell you too, when you travel overseas, you never say that you're traveling as a minister, because the language and the terminology in some countries are different than ours. And if you say minister, they think that you're coming to do something political in their country. And so they tell you not to say that. You know, just tell them you're going on vacation when you're going out there. And the other thing is that you want to buy bottled water. And when you're out there, you never want to drink water or eat food that's been given to you by any of the natives. And their food is different. They don't clean their food like we do. And so that's why it's good to get in the habit of fasting. You know, I've heard a lot of stories from some of the leaders that have traveled overseas, and some of them just don't eat when they're there. They just fast the whole time.
Yep. Eat food.
Amen. I'm gonna share with you just in a minute, Minister Jenkins. If I'm gonna wait till you actually done writing, so let me know. I'm checking it out. I'm reading it. Amen. I'm gonna let Misty read it too, so she can pour into you just as well. And Carla. Amen. And Shamika, you could jump in there too. You got it in you. You just need to let it out. Hallelujah. Jermaine, is, like I said, he really has impressed me. That brother been preaching his self off. Amen. All right. Let's see what you got here. Amen. What you willing to do, Minister Jenkins, as far as ministry is concerned? Are you really hearing from God as far as it, it's stepping out? And because I'll share this with you, you know, there's still yet more that God wants to pour into you spiritually, as far as concerning who you are and even your particular calling in the Lord. And I'm not quite sure if I shared this with you before, but that pastoral dimension is on you, very heavy. But because of the age where the church is in, you can't pattern your ministry after the leaders that you've been, I'm gonna say this much, leaders that you've been raised up around, and leaders that you've been used to serving. There is a lot of mixture that you've been around, and God wants to pull you away from the mixture and just expose you to that one important ingredient, and that's the ingredient of the kingdom. And that's the substance and the flavor that makes up the heavens. And that God exposes you to has a lot to do with just word. You've been in good word churches, but they haven't had any demonstration. Whereas the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And God wants to expose you to the power of who he is, versus just hearing a good word. And this is why I say a lot of times I'm not impressed with preachers that they can hoop real good. You know, I think I turned off one leader I talked to. He was listening to the Blog Talk programs, and he called me one day. He was real excited. You know, he hadn't preached in about 3 or 4 years, and his pastors or bishops or whoever was giving him a chance to preach. And did I say he was from Arkansas? I can't remember now. Y'all pray for me. But when he called me, I shared with him what the Lord was revealing to me about his particular ministry and what God was requiring of him, because he was so busy getting caught up with the other preachers on how well they can preach. You know, I'm gonna mess them up with this, Doc. I'm gonna preach real good. You know, they ain't gonna know what to do after this word. You know, that's good and dandy, but what are we doing? Are we challenging each other to see how well we can preach, how well versed we are in the scriptures, and who can tune up and grab their ear and rock back in the pulpit the most? Are we more concerned about how well our robes look, how well our attire is when we get up and preach, versus are we going to preach the kingdom of God and allow signs, wonders, and miracles to follow it right after? And this is what is lacking in many of our organizations. And I'll tell you, you can go down the line in most Pentecostals churches or anywhere where most Afro-Americans have assembled themselves in the church, and they all have very good qualities. They have some excellent things that are flowing in their ministry. The one thing about the Baptists is that they're well organized. They have things really and literally in order. They are probably the closest when it comes to the knowledge of or they probably have the most knowledge concerning eschatology. Whereas that most Church of God in Crisis and PAWs, they'll preach you in a minute and tell you let's get right, church. Let's pack up and go home. You know, they real quick to preach that, but when you start digging and dissecting the Word of God in the area of eschatology, most Baptists, at least some of the old school Baptists, they got it down packed. They understand some dimensions of eschatology that most churches don't share. So that's why I said there's some really good qualities in every denomination, but the problem that we're having is that there is no demonstration. There is no administration of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit are not flowing on a regular basis. The church can't profit, and they can't gain anything from the Lord unless the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. There has to constantly be an administration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at all times operating in the church. This lacks in the church. And I'm telling you what I'm hearing the Lord say. As you've been around leaders and you've been around churches that haven't allowed the free flow of the Holy Ghost. So in the midst of you stepping away from what you've been used to, it's going to require you to literally bend backwards on some of the stuff that's been imparted into you. And your willingness to do so, you're going to have to remain steadfast and know that God has placed you on an assignment. Once you walk away from it, and you try to allow new wine to be poured into you, once that new wine gets poured into you, you cannot go back and sit up under that old wine and let them wrap that old wine skin around you. I'm telling you, you're gonna burst, and that's what's been happening. Because every time you come by here and you get that revelation and you get that impartation, you get that shaking, that, like you said, it shake you up, and you get a little, you know, when they was bringing Frankenstein back to life, or bringing him to life, and they put them hooks on his neck and started charging him up. That's the way this type of kingdom analogy gets in us. It starts to spark life in our spirit. But then when you get around some folks that don't want to be bothered with this kind of teaching, they start throwing old stuff at you. You don't want that. Once you make the decision to step out and begin to receive all that God has for you, you got to allow those growing pains to happen. Come on, somebody, say amen. You gotta allow yourself to be stretched. You gotta allow yourself to probably put on a Band-Aid from time to time, because sometimes when you get stretched, you might get ripped a little bit. That's what that wineskin ripping is all about. You might have to patch a few holes up, amen, but gotta come in and surgically repair it once you allow to. And that's what it's gonna take. Once you set your face to do what you feel in your heart that God is telling you to do, you got to get committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that the Lord poured in my spirit today. It's a challenge to people to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say you're going to do a thing, and then, you know, 4 or 5 months down the line later, this not the thing that you thought you should have did. Start it, finish it, complete the course. He who has begun a good work in you is how that scripture go. He'll complete it.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. We have to complete what we start. That's gonna declare who we are. It's gonna tell the people about our integrity and our character and what we do. And so I told you this before, man of God. I see great things in store for you, but the decisions that you're going to have to make is going to require you to become uncomfortable for a season or two. And I say a season or two because who knows how long the first season is going to be and if there's going to be a second season after that and everything that you're going through. Because in this dimension of the anointing, it's a lonely walk.
Amen.
When Jesus stepped out and did something different compared to what the Pharisees and the Sadducees used to do, he had 12 committed men, and one of them committed treason. A lot of folks followed his ministry. At one point, he had 5,000 men plus their families around him, performing miracles, feeding them, and everything else. But in the end, he still only had 12 committed men.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you deal with this dimension of the anointing, and you start to speak truth, you know what? Y'all gonna say, Apostle Hill, you crazy? Watch this. You know, we got the kids the Wii for the holiday, for Christmas, and it wasn't just for Christmas. My wife wanted it more than they did. she wants to do the workout and the sports and all of that stuff. So, you know, I wanted the Xbox 360, so I ain't gonna just put it on her. and so she went on ahead and she got it. And I said, well, you know, well, I said I like those. I like a lot of those strategy games, the little army games and stuff. So I went and got the game Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and the kids was watching me play it the whole time. You know, I beat the game within 4 days, and they was like, "What, Daddy beat the game?" They thought I was "You an old guy? What you doing beating the game?" and while I was playing the game, you know, if I was to lose a life in the game, it would always put up a very wise quote by a general or someone who was who had really good success in warfare. And one of the quotes that came up in the game, it says that truth is the first casualty in warfare.
Mm.
I saw that. I was just blown away. I said, God released that truth to whoever that general was. Because anytime you begin to speak truth, truth is the first casualty for real. And y'all remember some time ago, I did a series called Apostolic Truth, Apostolic Power, and Apostolic Structure. and we set up on apostolic truth for a long time. A matter of fact, for almost 2.5 months, I dealt with just the truth of God's word, and people don't want to hear truth no more. Same thing we were talking about at the beginning. They don't want the truth. You know, it's a gentleman that comes on the local radio out here around 6 or something in the evening, and he always used background noises and effects and even voices and clips from movies. And he always uses that Jack Nicholson saying when he says, "You can't handle the truth." And this brother, he'd be spitting some truth on the radio. I mean, he'd be saying some sound stuff. And it takes a special person to sit up under a ministry like that. Because when truth comes, truth always brings conviction, even when you're doing right. Because you're challenged to continue to do right. And when people get challenged to continue to stay humble and to stay up under the grace of God's anointing, and if they can't stay there, they don't want to stay up under the truth either. Because they want to have room to move about and to be in sin.
Hello?
I think his phone dropped again. Minister Jenkins, I just want to share. Well, I'll wait for Apostle Hill to come back on.
Okay, my house phone ain't cooperating tonight. That's what's going on. Well, I didn't want to use the cell phone, but I guess I don't have no choice because that's what keeps happening here. Bless the Lord. Amen. Can y'all hear me?
Yes,
yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Good. So, and so Minister Jenkins, you know, I'll challenge you tonight that if you want to step out and really begin to hear from God, you know, and especially with us, amen, if you come into this, you know, I will cover you and your wife, amen, and keep you in prayer. And I'm going to tell you, I take it serious. I take it serious. And if the Lord place you on my heart in the midnight hour, I might not call you, but I will get up and pray for you. And that's just the type of leader that I am, and I will commit to pouring into you. You know, we challenge you just like I challenge everyone else. You know, to just to remain first committed to the things of God, and then remain committed to what you start as far as the work is concerned. You know, we've allowed a lot of people to come in and out, and. And I just say this: I don't control nobody. And if you ain't happy and you want to go, we gonna let you go. But at the same time, we don't believe in cutting nobody off. If just because you got a shortcoming or two, you know, that's what ministry is all about. We're supposed to restore one another. We're supposed to pray for one another. Now, if you get to the point where you just keep rejecting it, you know, then, you know, after a while, you know, we have to do what the Word of God say over in the book of Titus. And that's what happened to one of the individuals with us today. I had to release him because he kept rejecting everything that I was trying to share with him and to help him with. And, you know, and when it comes down to that, you know, we don't want it to be that way, but I still have to follow the Lord. I have to obey the Word of God as well. Amen. So if you could call in on the line, you know, and so we can hear from you, I would appreciate it. Did anybody else want to share anything with Minister Jenkins?
I wanted to share something. I didn't know why I was drawing, well, the Lord had me drawing, and what he had me to draw was a pencil and a jug, and I was sitting here trying to figure out what God was saying because I knew he was saying something. And what I hear the Lord saying for you is where you are right now wasn't for you to be ordained. He sent you there to sit up under that ministry so that he can pour a specific thing that's going to break off your life mentality. It's something that you have been through in your life that's caused you to think opposite to the Word of God. And in that, God puts you there to be taught that specific thing. And so as you're moving and changing and shifting, you have to really know when God sends you somewhere, number one, why he sent you there. And when you figure out what you're supposed to get out of that, then you know your assignment. But it's like you're missing your assignment because you're doing one thing that you want to do, but God sent you there for a different reason. He also began to say that you need to begin to study more, stay rooted in the Word more, because what you're trying to tap into from a pastor, only God can give to you. And the revelation that you're looking for is not going to come from a man. The revelation is going to come from your time of study in the Word. And so you got to begin to take your eyes off of man and begin to tap into the relationship and commune with God. There's also emotions running high, and you're not operating or reacting in the spirit. You're operating and reacting in the flesh, you and your wife. And God said that you will miss him in this season if you don't understand why he sent you there and what you're supposed to tap into. And in that, not that God did not connect you to Apostle Hill, it's for an appointed time. And you got to move when God says move and not when you get ready, because you're going to continue to see yourself stagnated in your gift. Because you're not moving in the timing of God. It's like you're delayed in the spirit. And every time you miss the timing of God, it delays your purpose longer and longer and longer. And you cannot afford in this season to be delayed any further. You have to know why you're somewhere, what you're doing there, and why God sent you there, and make sure you're on your post, because there's an assignment you are supposed to be fulfilling while you're under that ministry. You're looking to get something for it, but you're there on assignment. And if you don't fulfill what God is trying to break off your lifestyle change, you're going to miss God. You got to begin to hear from God in another dimension. You can't continue to do things the same way and get different results. You got to spend more time in prayer, more time in fasting, more time in consecration, and more time in your word, says the Lord. And you have to begin to stop looking for people to affirm who you are and know who you are in Christ Jesus. And so this is a season I just see you, there's a lot going on in you because you're confused because you're not grasping the commune time with God. And if you begin to tap into what God is saying and not what someone else is telling you, you're not going to miss God this season, says the Spirit of the Living God. So you got to begin to rearrange your schedule, says the Spirit of the Living God. Rearrange your schedule to include him more than anything, because this is your time of alone with God. And when you do that, you're going to have clarity and understanding, and you will not miss the timing of God in this season. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Come on, Carly, give them some of that wisdom now.
Just to really add on to what you say for is the Pastor Jenkins, to stay committed in and out, backwards and forwards. He has to stay committed to what God has called him to do. And once he commits to do what God has called him to do, then God's going to give him the instructions. But he can't come for a minute, get a feeling, go back, you know, backwards. In other words, just stability, stableness in the spirit.
Amen. Hey, man, you want to try? Should we here? Come on.
Yep. I'll just say that you and your wife together, when you go before the Lord in prayer, to ask God for wisdom, ask him for direction. And when he begins to show you things and when he shows you things about you, be humble enough to accept it and to begin to work on the things that he wants to root out from you so you can go forward and do whatever he has called you to do. And so you can be in the timing of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Tremaine, you on there? See him on the call. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Minister Jenkins, if you want to respond, go ahead. Amen. We'll just wait for him to respond. Amen. So I'm excited that now, as far as Houston is concerned, did you guys want to take care of the flyer, or if you guys want to do a flyer? I'm gonna step away. I'm gonna let y'all take care of it. But if y'all need my help on anything, just let me know.
Just send us the pictures, or, you know, again, what God is going to do is not, it's not going to be a charismatic service, you know. God began to say there's no bells and whistles, only the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I've just truly been in prayer, but, all I could hear God says he doesn't want all the sparkles, because he wants people to see his power. And I truly kept saying, okay, God, what do you mean? And that's why I kept saying, okay, Pastor, show me your vision of what God is showing you, because what he's showing me is just him.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, you know, I'll tell y'all, it's one thing, you know, and everybody, you know, as far as you all are concerned, y'all, you've been used to seeing me minister here, but you can ask Apostle Jackson and anyone else who's ever been in a live service with us, you know, all I know is that just God just come in the room and take over. And it's not the same as it is by way of what internet and live is totally different, and I can say this because I know what God has been showing me. There's going to be such a awesome presence of God that's going to be on those services each night. That's just going to rest there. It's the atmosphere itself is going to literally arrest the people, because that anointing for what's to come down there is even heavier and even greater than it was than when we were in North Carolina. And I think about it, it doesn't leave me to question, because I've experienced this before, but every time there's a heavy presence of the Lord in any place, and this is why I was sharing, and I don't know, is this a service? Jermaine ain't on the line. But the last service that we had at the hotel, the Lord had me to share a word how when any time the sons of God, and that's the sons and the daughters of God, present themselves, before the Lord, which means when they come before the presence of God in his glory, Satan is always present. And in the book of Joel, chapter 1, it says when the sons of God went to present themselves before the Lord, guess who was standing there with them? Satan. And the Lord began to ask Satan, he said, what you doing? Why are you here? He said, I'm just walking around to and fro throughout all the earth, up and down in it. He's trying to get access to the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to get access back in. And so the Lord told him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? So it's always that person that's willing, that one son of God, because and I'm telling y'all don't hear a lot of leaders preach this, but Job was one of the sons of God that went to present himself. And out of all of those sons of God that went to access the heavens, he was the only one singled out by the Lord and tried by Satan. And so when we put expectations on somebody like that, you got to remember, this person that we're looking to come and to do this work, they've been upright before the Lord. And so I'm sharing this, that be on watch at those gates, because when the glory of God come into Houston as such, you better believe that after it's all said and done, that the enemy will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I share with them before I'm telling you the same thing I share with them in North Carolina before I left. I met with the three leaders that was down there, and I told them, I said, every time there's a strong move of God like this, you got to know. And I said, I'm not telling you this just because I got some spiritual wisdom. I'm telling you this because I've experienced this, and I know that the enemy is pissed off about what just transpired here. He always shows up. He tries to create chaos and division. And so we want to combat against that way in advance now. And I'm telling you, I refuse to allow this to happen again. So when I'm in my fasting time, I'm going to be fasting just for that as well, because that spirit has got to be broken.
Well, God already had. We're starting our fast on the 10th, on the 9th, I'm sorry, that Sunday. We're doing a 21-day fast, God. I was just planning to do it going into the conference, and God said no, to start it on the 9th and end it on the 31st, and then go into the end of the month fasting. But in that time, God said, you know, have to become a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have become already, but to another level of prayer. And so God is already preparing us. It truly, you know, what God showed me is the enemy cannot come in if you don't let him. In other words, every leader has to be checked, you know, and that's always a, you know, always a calling out, always a time of prayer. Not saying that he ain't smooth, but still, it's always, if all of us is on guard as leaders, somebody got to be on guard to see in the spirit. If I miss,
right,
you should be able to catch it, you know. One of us got to catch it in the spirit, you know, and that's what God said. Mm-hmm. If you keep all your leaders consecrated, if you keep them in fasting and prayer, nothing can come through the gate.
That's right, that's right. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, that's important too. And that's what's going to need to happen, because I'm telling you, I'm coming down there just as equally fast up as you all will be. You guarantee that. Let's see, because y'all deal with different devils in Houston. And so, you know, the devils that's here are different than they are there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm coming in a whole different mindset. And I'm just going to be ready. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to be ready. And then when it's all over, all I want to do is just hug on my wife and go somewhere and relax. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to have an awesome time, though. Seriously, I believe God's going to do some awesome things down there. Y'all are definitely in for a treat. And I don't say that religiously either because, like I said, you know, just to talk about it, my hands be on fire. I'm serious. Just talking about the experience in Houston. Now, one of the things that I will say, you know, there was a prophet that the Lord spoke to me about that was here, that he told me to go and get and have him to come and help us. And I did that. And he did come and help for a minute, and then he just kind of fell off the scene. Some of y'all may know who I'm talking about. I'm not sure. And then he saw some movement in our ministry, and he calls me up. And he's like, man, I saw you. I said, yeah. I said, well, I've been trying to get a hold to you, brother, because, you know, the Lord put some stuff on my heart for us to do. And, you know, and I think he was thinking that maybe I wanted him to come up under us. But that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the fact. I was looking for him to just come and help. That's what the Lord told me, have him to come and help. And so long story short, you know, as usual, you know, when you got people who really don't want to be accountable to nobody, they long rangers. They want to do things on their own. They're really reluctant about being obedient in different areas and such. But he did share some stuff with me in reference to Texas. And so I'm going to tell y'all, God's been ministering about Texas now ever since August. And so there's definitely some things that are going to take place spiritually. And it's not just, like I said, it's just not an ordinary ordination service or affirmation conference or whatever, but you can definitely look to see some things in the region, some things in the atmosphere are going to pierce. And that's the type of apostle that I am. I come to transform regions. I don't just come into a city and preach and get everybody happy. I come to transform regions. And not only are we doing it here, you know, we did it and done. I'm telling you, we transformed that region. And everybody that was a part of what went on down there, they scattered already all over again. And believe it or not, the very word that I preached, the Saturday night, which was the main event night, was about the scattering of the sheep. And every last one of them have scattered. And it's only been a couple of months. And so, like I said, when I come into a region, I come to transform it. I come to upset some devils. I come to piss some devils off. That's what I'm coming to do. And I'm praying also that the angels of the Lord will even attract other established leaders to y'all ministry. Let them get wind of what's happening, because it's not going to be just a word for you all, but it's going to be a word for the region. Heck, let some of them folks from Ivy Hillers Church show up. Glory to God. I mean, from all three of his locations, let them show up. They say, who is this? What is this he's saying? Amen. How is the local radio down there? As far as the gospel stations and everything, how is that?
They have one in Prairie View that's pretty much local. PSU, they don't really play it. And then they have 92.1. That's more like the they have the Corey Condry show. I'm trying to think of the, what's the name of that? What's the name of that show? The Yolanda Adams show. I'm trying to think of that radio station, Radio One. There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, Yolanda Adams, because she's like syndicated. She's all over the country right now.
Right. So that's pretty much all we have here.
I ask that because I see y'all doing some radio soon. I mean real soon. I mean like very, very soon. And some opportunities gonna open up pretty much like they did here for us. We ended up getting, let me tell you, the same prophet that the Lord told me to go and get to help us, he's on WYCA radio as well. And the same price that he paid for a half hour is the same price we pay for an hour.
Mm-mm.
Tell you what God will do, especially when you be looking at folks funny. Because I don't know, I do know what happens. Somebody that's real popular, especially over the internet right now, started a really good, a big network. And like I said, all you had to do was say prophetic. But he started a network, and I think they got connected and hooked up. And one of the apostles that was ordained with me got in their ear and said some things against our ministry. And so he kind of cut himself off from us. So let's tell you how I always say thank God for the haters, because no sooner than he did that, that's when God opened up that door at the same radio station. Imagine that. He was calling me up and having me to come and sit in the studio with him a couple of times. And then the Lord just said, now's the time, go. And it's like, bam, he put me right there. Same price for an hour versus the half hour that everybody else was getting.
Mm-mm.
So, it's gonna be some areas and some doors that's gonna open up in that. I even pray that God give y'all favor with Yolanda Adams, because she's based out of Houston, isn't she? Isn't that where she's actually at?
Yeah, you know, they don't even have they just play music. They don't have any the only one that does where you can pay to get on is the Preview station.
Okay.
The 92.1, you can't get on to minister or have they don't have anything open right now. They just play music all 24 hours.
Oh, that ain't
fun. besides the Yolanda Adams show, and then they have a couple of late night different programs, but they're all like national, I'm trying to think of the Coco Brothers show, whatever, yeah. I don't know if y'all have that in Georgia.
I think they're doing the same thing. I know D.C. getting it, Washington, D.C., they're getting it up in North Carolina, where Yolanda Adams is. A lot of areas are getting that feed, that same feed.
Mm-hmm. But I do receive that. That's part of what God showed me. I ran into one of the ladies that's actually, she does it at a Preview at one of the Bible bookstores, and we exchanged numbers. So God is truly opening a whole lot of doors in just when January hit. So I'm just in agreement.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Bless the Lord. And we was like that too. We went into the new year this past year in 2009, and I was really believing God for local broadcasting. And sure enough, like I said, the door opened up. It didn't seem like we was going to get there, but the invitation was there. The rates was reduced, and the opportunity was right there. I said, bam, okay, it's time. We'll go to get it. Yeah, so you'll know, because God will put that burning in your heart and say, go for it. Yeah, we also, I don't know if y'all listened to the blog talk on this past Sunday, but there was a lady that came on there that I prophesied to. Her name was Karen, and I have met them, and I've also ministered at their ministry a couple of times in the past up in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I haven't heard from her yet, but I believe that the Lord just opened up another door for us to also go on air in another state.
Praise God.
Yeah, so that won't be long. Actually, they actually play some of my stuff on their air now. They have been for about a year now. They got some of my CDs from a long time ago that I did that they got, because it's been a while since we've been up there. We didn't fellowship with them at all in 09. It was mostly in 08. And they have some of my material up there. So they have been playing it on the radio. And so that's definitely been an honor. And but I believe God's going to open up the door now where we'll be able to go on a more regular basis.
Amen.
Yeah. So, and this is one thing, Minister Jenkins, if you're still listening, that we're trying to explain to you. You can't, if whatever you're doing, you can't get caught up in that same pattern and that same analogy that everybody's been doing. And you're going to have to finish out, like Missy said, you're going to have to finish out that assignment that you have there. And don't just walk away the wrong way, regardless of, you know, where that ministry is, and even in the midst of how you feel they're treating you, don't walk away with the wrong spirit. You know, make sure you do the right thing when you come away from there. You know, you never know, somewhere down the line, you'll get to where you need to be in God, and they may need you. And this is why I say I don't believe in cutting people off, because a lot of times, you know, you may have to leave some folks alone for a season so you can get to where you need to get. But eventually, you're going to have to climb back down your mountain and go back and get the rest of them and bring them back up there with you.
Amen.
We can't leave nobody behind. We got to go back and make sure the people of God are also getting on the right track as well. What good is it to do to be a leader and to be spiritually endowed with the things of God, and we overlook our brethren, or we cast them away because of their humanitarianism? No, everybody got shortcomings. We all have issues. We all have things that we deal with, but that doesn't give us the right to cut somebody off.
But sometimes, Apostle Hill, there are isolated cases that people will reject what God
That's
is saying
good.
To them. They
yep.
will reject what God is speaking, and you can try to pour, and they continue to reject, you know, just like you were sharing how, you know, it's not that God, not that you cut them off, but you have to sometimes separate yourself because they can't hear, they can't see, they don't understand, because they're not mature in God to understand where you at. And so in that, you know, you have to say, okay, I've tried to help you to understand. You're not understanding. You try to break it down for them. You still say fast and pray, and they don't receive nothing you're saying. At that point, you do have to cut them off until they can hear from God, and then God will say, okay, now you can go back and share what took place, you know?
Right. That's good. And that's what had happened today with Max. I had to release him. He just wouldn't listen. He said I didn't answer his questions, and I probably shared the same thing with him over and over again. And I did it in patience and did it in love. But when he got a little indignant in some of his writings, and I know what was interesting is that Max does have a learning disability, but and he didn't spell very good, but I could kind of understand what he was saying, and I knew he had some issues with that, which was okay. But when he would get angry in his writings, his spelling was correct. It was concise. He had proper English. He had all the proper punctuations and everything. I said, now look at this. And I just kind of told him, you know, I didn't give him a whole lot of scripture other than what it says in the book of Titus about avoiding foolish questionings and whatnot. And because he made reference to some things about me not answering his questions. And I gave him everything that I possibly could to the best of my ability. And I prayed for him. Many of y'all know that. We've shared with him and poured into him. And he just refused to do what the Lord had been asking him to do. You know, I gave Max a separate assignment outside of everyone. I had him to go and purchase a book by James Lee Bell. which is the same book that we use on Wednesday nights in our Bible studies here. And I had him to go through every lesson one by one and read it, and there's questions. There's a questionnaire in the back, and you can answer the questions. And I had him to do that and send it to me. And he did really good by doing that for maybe for the first 2 weeks. And then the third lesson was a little late. He think he got it to me maybe about the fourth week. You know, and I didn't jump on him about it. And then it just stopped from there all of a sudden. And he just started asking a lot of strange questions and never staying on the same subject matter. I agree with him. He always kept saying he needed deliverance. I know he needed deliverance. He still do. I won't say that he don't, you know. But, again, it goes back to, like I said, you've been up under a lot of words. Some stuff should have been broken off your life by now, you know. And what he's been through and where he's come from, you know, it's gonna take time to break some of that stuff off his life. Because he was heavily involved in let's just say a lot of devilment, and his ancestors are still involved in it. His bloodline, and so some stuff he wasn't going to get delivered from right away. It was going to take a process. It was going to take, in other words, he needed to be sanctified, and sanctification is a process. It takes time. It takes cleansing. It takes the Word of God. It takes patience under the Word of God. And it takes fasting and prayer. It takes laying on your face. And these are simple things. If you would just do them, you would see God beginning to transform some things in your life. But he was refusing to do this, and he wanted me to give him time that I didn't have to give him. And he got upset about that. And so, and I'm saying this publicly because one of the things we got to learn as leaders is we got to stop pacifying the people.
And amen and hallelujah.
And it's just really straight up. You know, the Apostle Paul confronted Aristarchus, which is one of his elders. They followed him on a lot of missionary assignments. And he had to confront him in front of the church of Colossae because of what the other elders were doing. They were sleeping with the women in the church. A lot of chaos was going on. And I mean, the church was totally out of order. And the Apostle Paul called them out by name in front of the congregation in the letter. He told them to read it. And then he told them also, when you finish with this letter, when you finish with this letter, send it to Thessalonica as well. Let them read it. He wanted the whole church and everybody that was a part of his ministry to know what was going on. He was exposing those leaders. And that's the way we got to get now. We can't pat nobody on the back. If you know that there's a leader that is out of order and they refusing to hear the truth and do what God told them to do, you need to call them out. I know y'all like, man, that's crazy. Apostle, what would call?
But you know what? That it's necessary because what the thing of it is that the church has covered up so much mess and foolishness that they think it's okay. And what you allow in your ministry, that's what your ministry becomes. If you overlook things, that's exactly what's going to come to. What it's going to come to.
That is so right. So right.
God would not allow anything in the temple, so why should we?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to preach on that one day because the Lord, for the last couple of years, been giving me revelation about that. And when you look at you get really specific about why he went in there and did what he did, it really begins to behoove you. Because you're like, wow, you know, they was really trying to get away with some stuff up in here. they didn't want to do the proper sacrifice, or they didn't want to make the proper sacrifice for the sacrifice. Let's put it that way. They didn't want to be obedient. And so I'm gonna get off into that one day. I'm gonna share that word. I'm gonna pray everybody be around when I share that too. It's awesome.
I got a question. How do you deal with a person who is growing and is actually trying to be obedient and do some of those things, but they're not quite really understanding what's going on? So how do you deal with that person? Do you just, I won't say cut off, but for a season, cut them off? Or what do you do?
Well, let me back up for a second before I answer that question fully. Over in Titus, let me find it here. I'm gonna get it. I'm going to read it. I think it's an important scripture to share. Titus chapter 3. let me read the whole chapter. Let me start there, because I would actually recommend that everybody read Titus and get that in your spirit. I did a teaching on Titus. Titus was actually an apostle, and he was a shepherding apostle, and many of the people who attended his ministry were family and friends. Titus was appointed as an apostle in Greece, and he had the most difficult time because he was dealing with leaders and individuals that were much older than he was. And mind it now, Titus was also a little older than Timothy. He was a young man. He was probably a little younger than me right now. And but he was still an anointed man of God and full of wisdom. And but he had a hard time getting through to his family. And the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time instructing him, even from afar off. But I'm gonna concentrate here on chapter 3, where it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves are also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." I'm kind of answering your question so far with just reading this, because one of the things about what was being said to Titus here is that, and this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Titus, he's saying that it's necessary for us to realize that, you know, we was messed up at one time, but now don't get so caught up in, because you was messed up in the past and that you had some shortcomings, but now you need to trust God. You know, it's not by your works. You don't have to do anything to prove that you living good, but it's just knowing by God's grace and his mercies that you've been saved. It's because of the shedding of his blood, the washing of his blood from the renewing or the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on, he says in verse 9, he says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Number 10 says, "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." And so when you look at this, you say, look, if I spend all this time knowing the truth, I'm being imparted with the truth. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved, I'm delivered, I'm set free. But yet and still, I'm confessing issues. I'm confessing different things that are going on in my life that don't pertain to the Lord anymore. But yet and still, I'm been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been set free, but I'm living in defeat. And then you start asking questions, what's wrong with me? How come I can't get this right? How come I can't do what's happening? And then you get instructed in the things of God over. And they tell you, well, you need to get this right. That's why the prophetic is so strong in the church now, because there's a lot of people living like this. And so God allowed the prophetic to come, that prophetic glory anointing to come in to try to break some of those yokes off your life. But if you still keep sitting back saying, well, I still got an issue. I'm, you know, even though you just poured into me, I still got an issue. No, that's like a slap in God's face. That's why he says a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. You can't keep pouring into, because you right at this point you saying you didn't heard to do good, but you won't do good. You're refusing to do what God tell you to do. And that's not good for business. That's not good for the kingdom. And so you can't be a part of the kingdom when somebody got to keep telling you the same old thing over and over again. Isn't this what happened with Peter? Remember we talked about Peter? The Lord had to reveal something to him three times all the time. After a while, you're going to frustrate the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that we're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to draw back off the anointing. God didn't reveal something to you, and you still won't react to it? Come on, that's just being downright disobedient. You've been delivered from disobedience. Trust the Lord and do what he tells you to do. And that's the way it's got to be. And that's exactly what I told Brother Max today. I told him the scriptures tell us to avoid foolish questions. And if we want to please God, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. But it also says that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that's what we have to grab hold to the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free from that mindset. But it ain't nothing wrong with you, Shamiga. You're just stubborn.
No, I was asking in terms of, like, when you're trying to do the right thing, you are fasting and you are praying, and you have not quite understood what it is that God is saying. It's not like you're trying to be disobedient. It's just that you haven't understood it yet.
It's a famous scripture, and you probably see it on a lot of pictures, and you may even see it on mugs. Like if you walk into a Christian bookstore, you'll see it advertised. And let me find it. I want to read it to you, because you gotta know that everything that you're doing in the Lord is not in vain. And that's why I said you have to trust God. You can't expect for him to move when you want him to. You know, a lot of times, you know, we say, well, I'm standing still. I'm doing what you told me to do, Lord. But when, you know, and it's possible to put a demand on the anointing. Don't get me wrong. I believe in putting the demand on the anointing. It's been many times that, you know, and I can recall, you know, standing in a place and crying out to the Lord, Father, I need you to fix it. You know, I can't do it no more. You know, if you don't do it for me, at least do it for my family. And, you know, and that would be a difficult thing to testify to someone who doesn't have a family or doesn't have anyone that depends on them. But I still wouldn't compare my testimony with an instance like that, because God still will bless us yet in spite of, if we just wait on him. I'm looking for that scripture, but it says, the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I know that's in Isaiah.
Like 54, something like that. Hold on.
Yeah, and those that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed like the eagle. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I know the scripture.
And I think sometimes we know that scripture, but I think we forget to wait on the Lord, because his timing is not our timing. Sometimes it's and you know, when you experience God's timing in your life, you know, everything is done at that time for a reason. And you're like, man, I wish I could have got this a long time ago. But, you know, if you had got it a long time ago, you probably would have dwindled everything that you had. You know, the same thing happened with the prodigal son. It was a timing thing with him. Had he waited on the Lord and got his inheritance, you know, when it was permitted, or when it was the right appointed time, he probably wouldn't have went out there and swandled or squandered all of his inheritance. He probably would have had something, but he didn't. But thank God for grace and mercy. When he did, he still came back, and God and his Father restored him. But think about if we was obedient the first time, that we waited on the Lord, that we would probably have that and so much more. And so a lot of times, you know, when it gets frustrating, it's uncomfortable when we're waiting on God, and we think that he should have done it a long time ago. And that goes for every area of our life, whether it's for the right job, even when we get the job, is the finances going to be right? You know, and then, you know, are we going to be able to maintain and sustain ourselves with the job? And then, you know, is relationships, you know, did I marry the right person? Anybody that's married going to always ask that question. and you have to accept that God gave you the right person, especially if before you married him and you said you heard from God, you better know 6 or 7 years from now that you still heard from God.
Okay. I just want to say, Shamika, I think, well, I'm trying not to use I think when God is talking. What's happening is that you have the heart and you want to do everything in the will of God. It's almost like you're questioning, is this God or is this me out of place? And God has spoken to you on several occasions, said, "This, I know where I have you. I know where I have you right now." But you kind of feel like it's something you've done or something you did not do. And it's not even that. Accept what God allows. And in your accepting what God allows, do it with love, loving kind, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, temperance, you know, long-suffering. And in that, see, when you begin to break that part off, that's all God is waiting on, is for you to stop being unsettled and where you are, because it's not even, you know, faith work and patience. And God is working a whole lot of things that's going to require patience in your life. And in dealing with people and with the people of God, it takes a whole lot of patience to deal with the people of God. Where God is taking you, you got to look at where God is taking you. And how can this be applied to what I'm learning today? How can that apply to where I'm going? And we don't want to look at it that way, but you still got to first look at the natural and look at the supernatural. Because where God is taking you, you're going to need these trials that you're in today to sustain you. T.D. Jakes said it's so perfectly. He was talking about leadership and how God will break everything off of you while you're low, so that when you get up where he's taking you, nothing will cause you to stumble or fall. So everything he's wanting to break off, it has to break off because of where your anointing is going to take you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So let it break off now so that when you get up there, you don't fall. You
believe
see great
me,
men and women of God.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate too, so and remind you, and I'm going to constantly remind you that you are the chosen one. Do you know in those movies when there's a lot of intense drama and people are going through dramatic changes and chaotic events are happening and they come around and they begin to speak of a prophecy of a deliverer and how there's a chosen one that is supposed to bring all of them out of this chaotic event. And then they begin, how the music intensifies, and they begin to point, and they say, "You are the chosen one." And then that music plays like it gets real excited, and you got this big aha moment on your face. But that's what God is saying, and you got to believe that with everything that's in you that you are chosen. If you could just catch tonight, just like Carla did, and you'll get Gethsemane moment, and just say, I give up, Lord. And you may have said that already, but you haven't said it in the sense that I give up. I you chose me. I'm the anointed one. Whatever you want and whatever you desire for me, I'm surrendering to it. It's not about what I want anymore. It's not about what I feel. It's not about where I want to go. What you want for me, Lord? I'm totally surrendering everything to you.
Right. I understand all that. I understand that I'm called. I understand I'm chosen and all that. My will has to die and God's will has to come forth and all that. But I was asking prior to the question, before I realized it, that I had no clue. And that's why I was asking the question. When someone is in that state and they don't understand what they're going through and they don't really know, I was asking, do you just cut them off and just let them find it, on their own with God or what? Because had not I gotten revelation tonight or this week, I wouldn't have known what was going on. That's how I see it.
But you got to look at, even though, let me just say it like that. I had an incident with a leader, the same what you're saying. Although I knew what God had called her to and what God was showing me, and she knew it, but she didn't tap into giving up herself.
Mm-hmm.
In that was her greatest struggle, giving up herself and her wants and her needs and her desires and what she thinks God is saying. And because she didn't shift when God shifted, it was a struggle for her, and it almost caused her to fall off. But when that happens with a person, I can only speak for me. God will have me to step back and not speak, because only God can help you when you're there. Nobody can tell you. Nobody can speak it. You heard Apostle Hill and certain people speaking into your life, and you still was rejecting what they were saying. Not rejecting, you received it, but your flesh was rejecting it. Bishop Neil Ellis said it so perfect. He said, the problem is that when you see all this frustration coming up in your life, it's because your flesh has caught revelation to the kingdom assignment that's on your life and is trying to abort what God is putting in you. And so your flesh begin to rise up, because your flesh don't want you to get it. Your flesh wants you to die to the assignment God has for you. So your flesh is going to keep rejecting, but you're in the spirit. You tapped into the kingdom. You just hadn't transitioned your flesh to the spirit. It's like you're walking in the flesh, but you're trying to transition to walking in the spirit. And God has been teaching you to walk in the spirit because we've been taught. It said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? According to the word of God. So as you're transitioning, only person can help you is God. Although people are pouring into your life and tell you who you are and what you're doing and what God is going to do, it's not until you have really grasped what God is saying to you. Nobody can help you. No one. I mean, and sometimes what happens is you have to let go of that person because not because you want to let go, it's because they had dropped themselves off from the vine. They couldn't receive. It's like, okay, it's like a heart transplant. And when they give that person a heart transplant, it's going to either accept it or reject it. Same with blood. It's going to accept or reject. And if your body rejects the plan of God, your flesh, if you don't die to your flesh and you continue to reject the plan of God, God will say, take your hand off. They're not ready. And leave them there. And they may be able to come back the next season or they may not. But it's only you can only pour so much into a wine bottle, and it's gonna overflow or it's gonna bust, one or the other. And so before it busts or overflow, God said, "Back off." Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, another thing is too. You know, I'm gonna say this because I'm gonna let you know that she is in the Word. And I taught this. Y'all remember, I've been teaching. I taught this for a minute. I stayed on this for a while over in Matthew 13 when it says, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed at the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, A-N-O-N, which means immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. This is what just happened with us. A lot of folks, they got the kingdom, they got excited, and they received it almost immediately. But the word says here, it says, yet he had not root in himself, he didn't have enough foundation. And it can only endure for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So everybody that was easily offended by anything that was said here or anything that was done, they couldn't handle the truth. They were like Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. That's what happened. And they got offended. And verse 22 says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30, which means that based on what you've learned thus far, you should be able to produce fruit. You may not be able to produce 100-fold fruit right now, but you can probably produce 60-fold fruit. You can probably produce 30-fold fruit, which means that even in every area, every gifting and everything that's been activated in your life, you should be able to stir up a percentage of what you've received if you receive any portion of the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah, that's that when Jesus talked about the kingdom, I'm telling you, I've said it so many times before, you know, only apostles and prophets going to be able to reveal things like that. And Shamika, for you, you got to know that you'll always receive the greatest of attacks because of the prophetic anointing that's on your life. You don't get ordinary attacks like everybody else because of what you've been called to. Jermaine wrote it down in the room earlier, to whom much has been given, much is required. And so you're not going to get a layman's attack. You're going to get an attack that is conducive for a prophetess. You're going to get an attack in the area of your prayer life. The attack is going to always come in the area of you being able to discern spiritually what's transpiring in the atmosphere. That is the way that the enemy will come at you, because he know that you're a threat to his kingdom. And y'all probably heard me say this before. If you've been called of God with the greatest anointing that's on your life, the greatness that lies within you, there is a picture of you posted in hell somewhere, and you on the most wanted list. That's it. And they always saying, watch out for her. Watch out for him. Because they're a threat. If they get a hold to any revelation, and if they ever get stirred up in the things of God, they'll tear down our kingdom. The devil ain't going to mess with nobody that ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
They can jump, shout, run around the church 7 times until that walls of Jericho come down, and they ain't coming down because it took them 13 times. That always tripped me out how folks march around the church 7 times like they're supposed to do something. Read the word. They marched around Jericho 13 times total.
All I can say to you, Shamika, last year was probably the worst year and the best year of my life at the same time, because I was going through what you're going through now. But I had so many attacks coming at me, like I couldn't even see. It was like I was missiles coming in every which way direction. And even if I ducked, they would still hit me. But I learned so much in the gift of the prophetic during those times. It's the times that God drew me to intercession, not for myself, but for the people that was coming against me. And I was learning the power that God had given me in prayer. And in that begins to sustain me when I begin to realize that in my time of prayer, God was answering those prayers, and God was showing me the power that he given me in prayer concerning those type of people, or rather whatever it is. It's pushing you into the level of anointing that's in you. And you look at an olive, in order to get the oil, the anointing out of an olive, it has to be crushed and pressed. A crushing and a pressing must take place before the oil comes out. But also, if you notice, when I did a study on the olive tree, if the olive fell off of the tree, it was bruised and was unable to be used for the oil. So if you fall off the tree before it's time, God can use that anointing the way he wants to. Not only that, you got three different types of, well, more than that, but three different types of olive oil. You got the extra virgin, the virgin, and the pure olive oil. Which one are you? Because whichever one you are, you got to stay on the tree the longest if you're the pure olive oil. The pure one stays on the tree the longest. And the olive is one of those trees that has to withstand the bare heat. There was nothing can cover it. It has to go under direct sun in order to produce the fruit.
Amen.
So because you got to stay on the tree longer to withstand more heat, that's the type of anointing God is birthing out of your life.
And it's very great. And that's why I said I don't think you and we probably don't know. We probably don't know either the capacity and the dimension of that anointing that's on your life. And nobody will unless and they actually get an opportunity to experience that call of God that's on your life. And you know, and I pray that, you know, we all have an opportunity to experience it. Because it would be a disappointment to not see what God has in store for you. Not only to us, but especially, you know, even to yourself, because it's very powerful. It's unusual and it's powerful.
So in the meantime, while I'm hanging on this tree, What do I do? Because I'm bored to death.
Watch out for the lumberjacks.
Now, Shamika, bored. Now you got to begin to. Okay, this is something that I did in that season of my life. You have to begin to. Okay, what type of ministry are you called to? And in that, you should know how that type of ministry flows from top to bottom. You should be studying and be a, you know, whatever your weakness is, that needs to become your strength. And I mean that in the natural. Whatever your weakness is in the natural, that needs to become your strength. And so in that time, you got to work on your weaknesses so that when you are, because see, you're not going to have time to get all that right when God shoots you out the rocket ship. So in your time of a friend and consecrating and waiting, you ought to be working on those things that you're weak at. Because as soon as if your interpretation of the word is your struggle, that needs to be your focus. If your weakness is prayer, you need to focus on time of prayer. You got to take whatever your weak spot is and make that become your strength. Because when God shoots you out of the rocket ship, you're not going to have time. Like right now, I don't have time to work on anything that I would like to work on because I'm purpose in really helping the people and getting the ministry off the ground. Apostle Hill can tell you there's no time. So you got to take this time and utilize it the best of your ability and focus on those areas God knows you're going to need help in.
Hallelujah. Yep. I mean, you're already helping people. I see it all the time. I see them little comments you be posting.
Oh.
Don't think I don't see it. And folks come by and they be all blessed and pumped up in the spirit. Because you said something that just sparked the anointing in their life. And you can do that even in a greater level. Let me share this with all of y'all while I'm talking about this because and God knew what he was doing. Y'all know I connected with a network right after the Christmas holiday. I connected with a network, very popular, very well-known network. And I was hesitant to do it, but the Lord told me to. Obviously they've been praying for me to come into this network for the last 2 years. So I was kind of like, what? But the network that I connected with is they release prophetic words on a national level, and y'all probably saw some of them being posted on. The Joseph Company, Fairbanks, used to post on there a lot, and which was pretty good. You know, it was always some good stuff on there, but they pulled me into the network, and they already recognized the Joseph Company. And so that also gives me an opportunity to expose you all, which means that if God puts something on your heart and is a prophetic word of that such, you know, and, you know, we could take that word and we can submit it to that network. And it exposes your word, that prophetic word, to an international level. Some over 150 million subscribers of that network. And that's not including the leaders that are part of the network, will get that word submitted to them almost instantly. And so this is the direction that the Lord, you know, told us to go into for now. And it's not no free network. Let me just put it into y'all like that. We sowing into this. And I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Lord had me do some stuff that make me uncomfortable because I don't always agree. Let me tell you, the apostle that ordained me, I didn't want to connect with him because I knew in my heart that he was teaching some stuff that I didn't totally agree with. And I told the Lord about it. I said, well, Lord, why do you want me to connect with this dude? He ain't telling everything right now. And the Lord said, I want you to because you're going to be an influence to him. And sure enough, I was. But, you know, some things didn't happen and some things didn't transpire or turn around. But God knew what he was doing, and it put me in another dimension just to connect with him. I also got to, I ended up connecting with a true apostolic father through him. So if I had not have been obedient and connected with him, I wouldn't have never met the apostolic father that is a part of me now. He wouldn't have never been a part of my life. So sometimes we have to do things that make our lives uncomfortable when God tells us to do certain things, and it pushes us into a place in him that brings blessings. Amen.
Amen.
I think some folks have been blessed here tonight, even though I didn't do no teaching. I'm telling y'all, when I got on the call, I actually had just woke up. I'm fighting some stuff in my body right now, and I'm walking and healing. I'm gonna have to because I got to preach all weekend. I got to preach Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I refuse to let the enemy do anything to my body right now. You know, the weather up here has been extremely cold for the last week and a half or so. We've been in single digits and in the teens in the temperature. And I work around some folks that's always cold, and they had a heat turned up, and I dress warm anyway. I come to work dressed warm, and so the temperatures coming in and out of the temperatures have really began to bother me. And then when the kids come home and they got little sniffles and colds, ain't nothing worse than getting sick from a kid's cold. y'all got kids, y'all know what I'm talking about. And they be bringing stuff home and touching stuff, and I'm like, ugh, get away. it's all good, though. I still feel good. I mean, but I had to go lay down before I got on the call. We went to Bible study tonight, and of course, you know, people are reluctant to come out for church when it's cold up here. And so, we went in and we went to go get the building warm. And we stuck around. I told my wife and them, I said, well, we're not going to stay here all night. There ain't no sense of running the electricity and the heat all night, and ain't nobody going to come. We pray and we get, and because we got church all weekend. So when I came home, I broke my fast and had a bite to eat and went to lay down for a minute and tried to get up in time for the call, but I was really exhausted. So y'all definitely please keep me in your prayer. But I know that this weekend is going to be awesome, and I'm looking for God to do some powerful things this weekend. Amen. Mr. Jenkins, you on the phone?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
I'm interested in to hear what you got to say, sir.
Well, after hearing all this, what you was, I was mostly just listening to what you were saying. On point, I was saying in the chat room, some strange reason, and that this was early in the evening, and I was working, and the Lord whispered the Joseph Company in my ear. Twice. Okay. Okay. The Joseph Company. You know, I know. I know it was you. You know, you. Wife. Joseph Company.
Speak up a little bit. We could barely hear you.
Oh. It was from the folks from the Joseph Company. My wife and I just finished date night. We have a regular date night on Wednesday nights. And got off listening to some music and this stuff. And I said, well, let me see who's on the talk show. Boom, there you were. talk show. I said, oh, great. And it brought my mind back when I heard the Joseph Company. That's all the Spirit said, the Joseph Company. All it said. And
I thought you was on the website with us on the network page?
I am registered with the Joseph Company. I haven't been on it for a while.
Uh-huh.
But I'm registered with you all.
Right.
I already knew who you were, who the Joseph Company was. It's just apparently I was supposed to have contact you one way or another, because originally what I was going to do, I was going to just leave you an email, just leave you an email and give you kind of a synopsis what I want to talk to you about originally. But that happened because I ended up on Talk Shoe, and there you were. I was just, you know how you go and you click the live button and you see you kind of take your mouse and just scroll down to see who's on. That's
uh-huh.
what I did. I just scroll down to see who else was on there at this time of night. And there you were. And that was some of the things that I needed to know, because I wasn't sure. I'm telling you the truth. I wasn't absolutely sure what to do. I didn't know. I kept saying to myself, I need advice. That's all I said. I was vacuuming, and I said to myself, I need advice. And then the Joseph Company came whispering in my ear and said, okay. I said, yeah, I know the Joseph Company. Yeah, I know them. I'm registered with them. That's what, apparently, like I said, I must have needed to talk to you, God, for this reason. It must have been a reason for being on here. It was a reason for it. Yeah, there's a reason for you to be here, to be on at this time of night, which I didn't have. I had no idea you was going to be on. To be honest with you, I didn't know you were going to be on. I didn't even check my list of people who I follow, and because I was in between, I was listening to you. I was working on my program for Saturday night. And that's originally what I was doing, mostly just doing our programming for the next few shows.
He
was right on talking what you said. I need to do it because I've kind of slack on it. I've been getting up early, and what I've been doing too is, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I have a call on here on Talk Show on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, morning inspirations. I do that, and I'm up that time of morning. I do have a morning prayer at around 6:30. So that I do have a morning prayer during that time. You know, Sundays I have a prayer at 6:30 at that time in the morning. So I do get up and pray. I need to do more reading. That I need to do, other than Sunday school. I read my Sunday school lessons, and I keep up with my Sunday school lessons. And a lot of times, the Lord give me something an idea for a message, and I jot it down, or I do some research on it.
You need a demonstration of the kingdom, though. You've got a lot of church experience, and you've been exposed to a lot of religion, but you need some kingdom, and that's what the Lord want to do for you. You need kingdom. Kingdom is, again, the word of God says the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And God wants to put his power down on the inside of you. And like I said, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, you don't want church as usual no more. I mean, you know, finish the work that you started where you are. Complete that work. I believe that there's a word in you that God's going to allow you to release for that ministry. It's going to be a harsh word, but it's going to be done in love. And once you do that assignment that God has set before you, then he's going to release you. Because it's just like Misty said, you know, and I find it quite interesting. You just put two and two together with the Joseph Company and you know, for many times that you came on and off on the training calls. and you didn't realize that we was all the same. But, you know, to make a connection with us as far as the leadership is concerned right now, you know, your commitment level has got to come up. Because see, you'll do just like we've been talking about tonight. You'll start out and then, you know, you won't be able to remain because there's some stuff that God got to pull out of you. And when you're ready to commit to that and allow God to pull those things out of you, you know, then you'll be ready. Because, you know, this, you know, like I said, this we take serious. You know, even though I work, I got a natural job. In reality, this is my job. Ministry, this is my life.
Yeah, it's a life kind of thing.
And I take it serious, very serious. And I don't handle God's people any kind of way. And the thing is that I thank God that he is giving us some people that can stand watch, because whatever the prophets are saying to me about anybody else coming into the ministry or coming under our covering, I'm going to listen to them. And if they see something that I don't see, I'm going to go by what they say. And I'm even to the point now, like even here at home, my wife can see some stuff and she could pinpoint people from afar off. And when she tell me something about an individual, I know right then and there that it is the God's truth.
Mm.
And so whatever she says, you know, before anybody come into our ministry, you know, I'm listening. And that's one thing as an apostle that I learned firsthand, was to listen to the prophets.
Mm.
And so, you know, that word that we shared in Matthew 13 tonight, see where you fit at in there. Because when you start being exposed to the kingdom, like I said, you've been exposed to a lot of church, but kingdom is different. Kingdom is a culture. Kingdom is a way of living. It's outside of the four walls and the sanctity of the church. It's a population of citizens that have been infused with the Spirit of God. They operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. They are still the same people, but operating on an even greater level than those of the early actions of the apostles.
Cause I had a little taste of that, with my wife. She was in pain, one night, and all I did was I just touched her, I prayed over her, I went back to sleep, and she was feeling a lot better. So the power is there. I just need, like you said, I just need more of the kingdom than church. Well, I got, you know, plenty of church, but I just need more kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because the power is there. Because ever since, and this has been confirmation, I've had confirmation after confirmation after confirmation after confirmation on the call, on my call. And it seems like every time it's a confirmation, somebody know that I've been called. I mean, this goes way back since I was a boy, since I was a little boy. And at the time, I didn't know. I had no idea about it. I mean, since I knew I had a call in my life, I didn't know it. Ever since this old man, I'll never forget it. This old man looked at me and said, "This boy gonna preach." That's all I remember. And then, so apparently it's there, and you know the call is there, but I haven't. I kind of like ran from it instead of embracing to it. That's kind of how it's been for many years up to now. Even at my old age now, my middle age now, I'm almost 50 now, and it's starting to come together now. And even during my older age, I've gone to churches, and I've been to church, and I've been taught in Sunday school, and you know I've sat under as you said, I've been under a lot of ministries and churches over the years, and I've sat under some great ministers. I mean, great ministers. I mean, great ones who's been a big influence on me, you know, from even up to now, who've been big influences to me. And he probably does. But like I said, I need more of the kingdom, which is in Matthew 13, and I think I know what you're talking about when Jesus was talking about the kingdom, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, right?
Yeah, you can find the kingdom all over Matthew.
Yeah, because he mentioned it, and he mentioned it a lot in through his ministry, and then even John even mentioned it. Even John started out talking about it. So
there's more
mention of the kingdom of God than anything
in the Bible.
Oh yeah, I mean it's especially in the New Testament. It's all over the New Testament. I mean, Jesus preached up and down the Palestine, old Palestine. We're talking about it, and they didn't get it until like way later. And I don't think some people still get it. But the kingdom of God, yeah, the kingdom, it's much bigger than it's bigger than the church. It's bigger than that. And
it's bigger than a bunch of preachers getting together and preaching real good. And I don't know if you ever heard me say this before, but I'm not that impressed with good preaching, you know, especially when they get up there and they hoop and then they close up the book and go sit down. That's not Bible. The Bible says when the kingdom of God is preached, signs, wonders follow. And so there's got to be a demonstration of God's word after it's been preached. You don't just, you know, give me a good word and a good sermon, get me all fired up, the drums get to playing, and the Hammond B3 go, and folks get up and they shout, "Is that the only sign we going to get tonight? Come on." Ain't nobody getting delivered from that. All they doing is dancing, sweating out their clothes, running up their cleaning bill.
Oh yeah, and then they'll go home. Well, what the preacher preach? I don't know, but he sure sound good.
Yeah, that God ain't. Let me tell you, the Lord is sick of that. God's tired of it.
My wife can tell you, she likes how I, because I'm more of a teacher than a teacher. Yeah, I'm more of a teacher than anything really. Cause my wife could tell you, when I write messages, I do a lot of research. I mean, I got books in here, and I go on the internet. I'm just in it. I mean, from one thing to the other, I get scriptures. I mean, I give you like a full thing of scriptures. But by the time you, as my wife says, I dissect the word. I do a lot of dissecting. That's a new word she has now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Rightly divide the word of truth.
Yep. I get it because the few messages I did preach so far, the last one I preached was very heavy. It was a very, very, very heavy message. Whew. I tell you, I told the congregation this is a word, a heavy word I have.
Let me give you some names, and when you get an opportunity, do some research and go and listen to them, and maybe this will bless you. You got a pen and a paper there?
Okay, hold on a minute. Okay, I could use this. Okay. Okay.
I start out with some simple names, but then I'm gonna take you up a little bit. For example, Bishop Tudor Bismarck.
Bishop.
It's T-U-D-O-R, Bismarck, B-I-S-M-A-R-K, or M-A-R-C-K.
What's his first name?
Bishop Tudor, T-U-D-O-R, Bismarck.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you can YouTube him. Matter of fact, all of these names you can YouTube just to see him.
Oh, I can go to Yahoo too. I probably can go to Yahoo.
Yeah, try that. Then another one is let me see. Was a good another good one out there. Dr. Paula Price.
Oh, Paula Price.
Yeah.
Dr. Paula, why that name sound familiar?
It's got a unique style. Let's see, another one is good. We got some of these videos on the Joseph Company page, but you can Google them. James Gould. J-A-M-E-S-G-O, isn't that, Jugul is G-O-L-L.
J, spell it again.
G-O-L-L.
Cool?
Yeah.
G-O-L-L, okay.
Uh-huh. And then, let's see. He's got another unique style that may bless you. Excuse me. Go ahead and try Apostle John Eckhart. You know, and that'll just kind of give you a different idea of how leaders speak.
What's that last one name?
Eckhart. John Eckhart.
How you spell it?
Eckhart is it E-C-K-H-A-R-D-T.
E-K.
H-A-R-D-T.
Is it E-C-K-H-R-L-D-T or is it E-K?
E-C-K-H-A-R-D-T.
Okay. It sounds familiar too.
Yeah, just start with that and then, you know, just kind of take a look at other ministries. You need to probably look outside of what you've been at, but you definitely need to finish up where you're at and take care of business over there.
Yep.
Amen. Did anybody else have anything tonight?
Oh, one more thing. That cold, that cough of yours, get you some lemon, some hot tea with some or some honey, and put some honey in it. And even take a teaspoon, a couple of teaspoons of honey, and you can just that'll cure that cold. That'll cut that cough.
You know, that's usually my remedy, but honey, let me tell you, honey is very scarce right here, right now in the Midwest. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because it's cold season, so, you know.
Oh, my
Lord, I'm about to send some honey.
Say what?
I'm about to send you some honey from down south.
Yeah, send me some honey from down south. Yeah, because I'm telling you, they wipe a shelf out here, boy, cold season.
Yeah,
cold
I know.
Medicines,
I used to live
everything.
I used to live in Chicago, just right next door to y'all, so I know how it is up there.
I know.
The snow and everything. It's probably going to hit, two below right now.
We're supposed to get a bad storm in the middle of the night right now, and it don't look like it's coming. It's actually too cold to snow. Yeah, that's what they've been talking about on the news. So I don't think we're going to get a lot of snow, but we definitely got ice. I would rather have just the cold than versus the ice and the snow. So
yeah, we getting ice down here in Savannah. As a matter of fact, the temperature has been dipping down to the almost to the teens here. Almost, it's probably like 20. Last time I checked, was like 30 something. So it probably went down to 20 something. Now it's going to go down with probably going half almost to the teens. Almost to the teens here.
That's pretty cold for the south, ain't it?
Yeah, it's typical here, but the only thing is what they have ice and stuff, and during the school year they shut down. They do not travel with ice here. They don't, because they shut the schools down immediately. Here they do. They
well, you know they don't do it here. Everything is still operating. I don't care unless it's a serious blizzard going on up here, and the snow just too deep for traffic. Everything still continues.
Mhm. I know. Cause here, as soon as it says ice, that's it. You might as well say Chatham County. They might as well shut down Chatham County altogether. Shut the whole county down. School system? Nope. They'll tell you in a minute. We will not. There'll be no school until. Until further notice, because it'd be so much ice on the grounds, and it's so hard for to drive on ice here. So that's why it's tough. That's why, and it's too. They forecasted maybe some flurries here, but it's too cold to snow here.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be just right on the snow here. It can't be too cold. Can't be too warm. Go figure. I don't understand it either.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Amen. Well, I'm gonna get ready to turn in for the night, y'all. It's been a blessing, amen. And I kind of feel led tonight to kind of just lay, you know, be transparent and just stretch out before you anyway. So. Well, I'm telling y'all, next Wednesday, I'm going to teach that thing on that Samuel anointing, because I've been wanting to share that for a minute, and I just
Samson anointing?
No, Samuel.
The
ministry of the prophet Samuel. I'll just talk about that on next Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Samson. I don't know why.
No, not Samson. Samson is, if you look at Samson's life, Samson was a type of an apostolic anointing, but he also represents the need to be obedient. If Samson was not entirely obedient to the Lord, he revealed some things that he should not have revealed.
And that wasn't really good
in the aspects of his ministries. And so apostles have to learn, even as prophets, all ministry gifts for that matter, that it's necessary to be obedient to the Lord when God gives you something and assigns you to a certain thing. He lost a portion of his anointing because of his disobedience. And people don't understand that. When you are disobedient before the Lord, don't expect to operate in the fullness of the anointing that's on your life. Amen. Anybody else got anything else they want to share tonight? Amen. Praise God. I see Carla. She left us. Amen.
She must have went to sleep.
Amen.
It must be 1 o'clock where you at.
Yeah, it's actually 1:30 here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think it's the same time in Houston and in Mississippi as well.
Yes. It's about 2:30. It's just after 2:30 here.
Yeah. Well, we praise God, amen. I thank God for all of y'all hanging in there tonight. And I was praying that we didn't get a bunch of stragglers coming through here, and we really did. There are a few people called, jump in and out. But as soon as they didn't,
I get that too.
Yeah, as soon as they didn't hear what they thought they was going to hear, they didn't stay long. But bless the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're just going to shut it down for the night, man. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight, God. We bless your name, Lord. Father, I thank you for understanding. I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for the gifting of the Holy Ghost, Father. And I thank you for clarity on tonight, Father. Lord, I especially thank you for the patience, God, that you have given us, Lord. I thank you for the fruits of the Spirit, Father, that calls us to have love and joy and peace, God, long-suffering, meekness and kindness, God, toward our brethren. Father, I thank you, Father, for fulfilling your word, Father, where you said it, that by your stripes we were healed, God. We thank you for the empowering of your word, God, that gives us healing in our bodies, Lord. For when we are sick, you make us strong, Father. When we are weak, you make us strong, God. And, Father, I bless you right now in Jesus' name, Father, for the glory of the Lord that's going to be released in the days to come. I thank you for the strengthening, Father, and the knitting of your spirit with our spirit, God. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, Father, for the breakthrough anointing, God. I thank you for sharpening our axes, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, Father, fill us with your glory. And we break up every fallow ground right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, give us right now, this night, God, to the ability to rest well, Father, to wake up healthy and strong and encouraged, God. And, Father, I ask and pray in Jesus' name that the ministering angels come and minister to us, Father. Release your dreams and your visions upon our life, God, and stretch us forth in our divine destinations in Jesus' name. I break again that spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.
Yes,
amen.
Good
see
night.
You on the vlog.
Good
amen.
Night.
We'll see you all on. We'll be streaming live this weekend, too, so I'll put the information out so you guys can watch the conference. Praise
okay.
God. God bless you. Amen.
Good night, y'all.
Yes.
Whenever you get a chance, call me. I have 2 emails to share with you. Whenever you get a chance.
Okay.
Is it one of them is it invited? Something else. I'll talk to you about it, though.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.